This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
You got a lot of nerve to say you are my friend. When I was down, you just stood there grinning. You got a lot of nerve to say you got a hand to lend. You just wanna be on my side, that's winning. You say I let you down, you know it's not like that. If you're so hurt, why then don't you show it? You say you lost your faith, that's not where it's at. You had no faith to lose, and you know it. That you talk behind my back. I used to be among the crowd you're in with. Do you take me for such a fool? Think I'd make contact? The one who tries to hide what he don't know to begin with. That for just one time you could stand inside my shoes, and just for that one moment I could be you. Yes, I wish that for just one time you could stand inside my shoes. You'd know what a drag it is to see you.
Yeah. following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the Saturday, August 4th edition of After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be the other one. Did you have me on?
Yeah, you were on. I was just bumping you up.
Okay.
So you need a little bit of throttling.
I need some something. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out of it.
I know. This is going to be a really packed show. We've got a lot of folks here tonight, and it is a pledge drive night, as a matter of fact.
I had this forgotten it was pledge drive.
Yes, it's our mini drive for the summer. So what we'd like to do is just come on and say, okay, folks, you know the score. You know what the deal is. Just give us a call, 713-526-5738, and we'll be able to just go on with the show. Sometimes that works. Sometimes our listeners say, okay, hey, let's do that. Let's call in so we don't have to be bothered with all the pitching and the moaning and the carrying on and the beating
you
of the breast.
You said pitching, right?
Pitching, yes. With a P, yes.
They were beat up earlier, so they don't need to be beat up now.
Yeah, okay. So, let's try that. 713-526-5738.
713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT. 713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT.
Okay, Mary. So, we played some music.
If you want to call it that.
We opened with new music tonight. Sort of new music. Half new music.
Yes, from the CD Music to Slit Your Wrists By.
Actually, it's called Dylan-esque, and it is by...
You say tomato, I say tomato, I say...
And it is by Brian Ferry. Now, everyone knows on this show that I play music by openly GLBT artists, but Brian Ferry is not.
Just his name.
Yes, he is not. GLBT at all. However, it's the world's first metrosexual. He headed up Roxy Music back in the late 70s, early 80s. He did a whole lot of work on his own, and now he has become Dylan, which means his voice is not what it used to be. However, this is a whole album of his interpretation of Dylan music, and he's done a lot of interpretations of stuff from 60s pop music to jazz to you name it.
I suggest his next interpretation be pantomime.
So, I know, you really hated that, but that happens to be my favorite Dylan song. It was called Positively 4th Street.
Hey, if we're going to play straight people and you like the Dylan song, let's go for the original.
Well, you know, I say straight. I mean, he's a metrosexual.
Not with hair like that.
Before his time. And
that hair is not fairy. That's more aircraft carrier.
I said before his time. And he has evolved since then.
Yeah,
but he was the type
so
of guy
his
that
hand,
everybody...
His hand is even blurry in the picture. It's trembling so much.
This guy is so Nelly, you know, and everybody thought he was gay and kept asking him, and he kept blowing them off, so to speak. You know, because he didn't even care. So, Positively 4th Street, and I want to dedicate to that to... Oh, let's see. Maybe some people driving home from Galveston tonight. I think that would be good. So, something we did last week that we could do again, only this week it would be belated, since, you know, we already did it last week and it was for an event, is that we wished Jim Crawford a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, yes. And Jim Crawford's with us again tonight. Jim Crawford of the... Wow, I can put together a show for you and raise some money for KPFT, mm-hmm. which they're still bowing and scraping every time I walk in the door. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, they haven't done that to him since Mary's in 85.
I know it.
You're very welcome. I had a great time.
Oh, and we're going to do this again.
Oh, I know we are.
I know.
For sure.
Maybe January would be a nice time.
Okay.
There's not much going on in January.
Mm-hmm. After the holiday.
Yeah, except you'll be out of town again.
Only in the beginning of January. My 60th birthday will be spent in Hawaii this year.
Oh, lucky.
Yes, yes. When I come back, you won't recognize me. Because I will look very different.
Uh-oh. I'm very afraid to ask why.
Ow. And
tan.
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh. He's going to be tan and he's going to be full of nuts.
Yes, well.
Macadamia is only.
That too. Okay. Jim's joining us tonight. I'm going to help us pitch and I don't know, we're probably...
Yeah, but he was so good. He was such a good luck charm last time we had a flex drive.
Oh, stop!
So he just,
and we'll be doing some...
it wasn't my fault.
he and I are going to be doing some heckling during the bye segment, so... We're going to have a lot of fun. Some things going on in the community before we bring out our After Hours Quickie tonight. Let's see. PFLAG is doing, let's see, the August meeting. The August program will be a panel of parents and family members of transgender individuals. Join us on August the 5th at 2 p.m. at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, 5501 South Main in the Jones Building. Parking is available east of the church. Enter from Binns Street between Fannin and San Jacinto. So that's something of interest for our group.
If you want to find out more information on PFLAG Houston, go to their website, pflaghouston.org, or you can call the PFLAG hotline, which I think is 713-45-PFLAG.
Something like that, I don't know.
Yeah, just don't dial it now in case it's wrong.
No, probably not. And let's see, with... ICOH, they've got a show going on next Friday night at Tony's Corner Pocket called The Filthiest Show Alive. And yes, it's a takeoff on Divine in Pink Flamingos. And it's being head up by Tess Tamir and Angelique Andrea.
No.
That is going to be so damn sick. That's the place to be next week, next Friday, August the 10th at 8:30. And what do you have?
Let's see. On Tuesday, August 7th, a national crime candlelight vigil, a hate crime candlelight vigil will be happening during the National Night Out at the parking lot of the Montrose Counseling Center, the new counseling center at 401 Brainerd. Everyone is welcome. Bring your BYOC and bring your own candle. Montrose Counseling Center provides hate crime services, including advocate to accompany you to the hospital and or filing a police report. For more information, call 713-529-0037. The Boy of Montrose contest will be next Saturday, August 11th, from 9 to 11 at the Ripcord. Boy of Montrose starts at 9. Contest apps are available at the Ripcord, Black Hawk Leather, and Leather Forever. Boy of Montrose beneficiary is the PWA Holiday Charities Working Fund. And then next Sunday...
Sunday!
Mother's Firstborn. Please join the newly crowned Mother of Montrose, Morgan Fairview, as she hosts her first Mother's Show.
Oh, that is going to be a lot of fun. I have such respect for Morgan Fairview.
And that is going to be 5 p.m. next Sunday at Mary's, naturally.
Naturally.
And for all of you who want to see the bed that's launched a thousand tears, GCAM will be holding a special membership meeting at 3:30 at the home of Jimmy Carper.
How rude.
You put the paper in my hand.
I know.
And, you know, it's...
That's really
gonna,
silly of
if
me,
you're
going
to open the door, yeah. It would be rude of me not to walk through.
I should have given that one to Jim, yeah.
So, at 3:30 next Sunday...
Sunday.
This will be in lieu of the first Monday meeting, mm-hmm. in which the meetings are normally held.
Yes, and we're having this before the Mother of Montrose contest, so that you can do both.
All are welcome to attend. If you need instructions or directions to Jimmy's, you can email chair@gcam.org or jimmy@vice-chair@gcam.org or check the second stall at EJ's.
I knew he was going there. I knew it.
Please remember, at this meeting, the traditional rule, Jimmy will not be paying you to attend his house.
Yes, that's right. That part is, yeah. Okay.
But unlike usual, you are free to go at any time you wish.
Yes, and probably will be soon. Okay.
You better start talking, man.
World premiere dance event, Sisters of Avalon present in the Garden of Gaia. It's the Sisters of Avalon will premiere their theatrical dance production at the University of St. Thomas Jones Hall Auditorium on August 11th, 8 p.m. Doors open at 7. This evening promises to be a fascinating dance event merging the worlds of tribal belly dance, flamenco, and gypsy dance into a dramatic creation celebrating the progression of life. And this is a fundraiser for Assisters. So, advance tickets are $12 at dubcubed.sistersofavalon.com or $15 at the door. That's Jones Hall at the University of St. Thomas, 3800 Montrose, Houston. And Jim.
I'm so glad you gave this to me before I had to actually read it on the air. Okay. Take a break from the heat and the rain and bring your family and friends to Theater Suburbia's annual melodrama.
Yes.
I thought that was a typo, but
No.
I'm just going to go with the flow.
Yes.
I know it's late night, and you know. Theater Suburbia proudly presents She Was Only Marginally Modest by Vern Hardin. Would you like me to reread this whole?
It's so fabulous. You've got to.
In this melodrama.
Yeah.
Ma Bell fights to save the dead Moose Lodge from repossession and somehow manages to hold off the selfish advances of the lecherous Judge Jury McBride, while Granny Fanny is searching for a husband. Primhilda fights to defend her honor even though no one is threatening it. Wilhelmina Worm falls madly in love with Turkey O'Trot. Turkey of Trump. I like that.
Hey, you should see him.
Mm. Oh, well, hey. Anyway, and fills him with moose munchies. Fills him with moose munchies. That's something we would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
Then Ruben Z. Patsy, undercover judge posing as an inept bumbler, arrives to sentence the guilty and perform the weddings. In the end, their heroine, Marge Modest, is saved by Seymour Stoutfellow from the dastardly villain, Brad Apple. That sounds really like...
Yes. It only takes one Brad Apple to spoil the whole bunch.
Oh, wow.
This is the type of thing...
Rim shot.
Yeah, this is the type of thing where they sell, popcorn so you can throw at the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And, when the hero comes in, everybody goes, yay! And, when the heroine comes out, everybody goes, ooh, ah. It's audience participation at its finest.
Well, these names remind me of a kid's book. Honestly, this would be something that a kid's book would have in there for the adults to really understand.
It's really so much fun. The acting is totally over the top.
Well, if you want to go see this,
plot, yes.
If you want to go see this, mm-hmm. it's opening July the 20th, 2007,
mm-hmm.
playing through August the 25th, 2007,
mm-hmm.
On Friday. And Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. You people really need to go see this. It sounds really good.
Yeah, I've seen it, and it's fabulous.
Oh, yeah. And it's also Sundays, July the 29th, August 5th, August 12th, and August 19th at 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Make your reservations early by calling. Get pen and paper.
Yes.
713-682-3525. And those of you who just came home from a bar, let me repeat that number.
Mm-hmm.
713-682-3525. It's not the number you found when you were in the bathroom.
No. It's not my number.
No, it's not Jimmy's number. That's posted on this wall here. Shows sell out quickly. And I know this one will. We should get a group and go.
Oh, let me tell you.
I would love to
go. Theater Suburbia is so great to after hours because if you call that number mm-hmm. for reservations, they will give you two tickets for the price of one.
We'll see, people.
So you such a cheap date.
Yes.
And it's only like $12 anyway.
That's not bad. And the opening night is going to be Friday, July the 20th.
Which already happened.
Right. And you get a free bag of popcorn.
Well, you missed it, so.
Well, yes, see. Oh, well, see, people, but hey.
But the popcorn's like $3 for a dollar. You eat half and throw it at the and it's just great.
Well, people go and see this, because this sounds like,
yes.
I think we should have a group and go.
Yes, absolutely.
I would love to go.
And something else that's great is the Cult 45s, because they're here with us tonight.
Oh, they're always great.
Welcome.
Oh, I'm here, yes.
Derek Corwin is here, president of the Cult 45s. Now, Jim, how much do you know about the Cult 45s?
Some, but not enough to really,
Okay. Well, good, because Sir Corwin's going to tell you about it.
I'll tell you all about the Cult 45s. Cult 45s are a 501c3 charity organization. We have several charity functions that we do in the community, one of them which is our AIDS Trouble Fund.
Mm-hmm.
AIDS Trouble Fund is there to help those that are suffering from AIDS in a financial need, and they have those basic necessities that they just can't quite make, like their rent, their utilities, their gas, electric, phone. Those are typical things that everybody else takes for granted. And a lot of people just can't cover that during the summer, especially these hot weeks that we're having.
Yeah.
And coming up August is going to be even hotter. And what we do is they put in an application, and we go through these applications every Tuesday night. Everything is confidential. All of our applicants are a number. That's all they are to everybody, because it's all kept in confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
We do not pay the actual person. What we do is they send us the bill, and we will actually pay the bill itself.
Like the landlord or the light company?
The landlord or light company. Okay. So the money actually goes where it's supposed to go and helps them out and takes care of it.
Now, I understand this is kind of the court of last resort type of thing, right?
We're the last resort. We push for you to go everywhere else to all the different organizations mm-hmm. that also help out. And when you've tried everybody, and we're the last ditch effort for helping you out. We have applications at most of the clinics around town. Most of the counselors all have our applications.
Good.
If you can't find one and you know somebody who needs one, or if you need one, you can always go online. If you have a computer, you can go online to Colt 45s, which is C-O-L-T 45s .org. And we have the applications online. You can download them and just fill them out right there. You can always call us. We have a hotline that's an answering machine hotline that you can call, and we will call back and tell you how to get one. We'll mail you one if you'd like. That's easy enough for us to do, too. Okay. Our hotline is 713-526-6077. That's 713-526-6077. Leave a message there. We'll promise we do return all calls, and we'll help everybody as much as we can. If you know of somebody that may need the assistance but can't get out, give us a caller. We'll come to them. We'll bring them applications or whatever we need to do to take care of these people.
Great.
We do fundraisers to help fund this. All the money that we get is all total donations from the community. And every penny we get when we raise the money for AIDS Trouble Fund, every penny of AIDS Trouble Fund money goes to the people with AIDS who are in trouble and need that help.
Yes, because you guys volunteer your time.
All of our time, all of the people that are cult members, they're all volunteers. Mm-hmm. We all volunteer our time. Our office is donated from the BRB, the good people over there, the Brazos River Bottom. They give us an office space to use. Actually, the only one real utility we have is our own little hotline phone line, and we do fundraisers throughout the year just for ourselves once in a while, just to get up a couple of $100 to cover our phone bill.
Sure.
But all the rest of the money, everything else goes, and anything else comes out of the pockets of the Colt 45s. We all believe in this, and we push real hard, and we want to help as many people as we can every year. So far, as of to date, as we started this, as of to date, right now, we have covered over 1,500 persons with AIDS of all sex, race, color. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are. If you have AIDS, we're here to help. It doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, whatever, black, white, Mexican, male, female. That's not even on our application because that's not what's important to us. What's important to us is that you need help.
Okay.
So if you need help, please get in touch with Colt 45s. If you see us out at the bars, we're usually wearing leather vest with a great big triangular patch in the back, diamond-shaped patch in the back,
like
says Colt 45s on it. Tap us on the shoulder, and we'll help you or get whoever help needs it.
Or just say hi.
Just say hi.
To some great folks who do
We're always
good
looking
work
for
here.
New members, and if anybody would like to help out, and if they feel like they want to help the community and they can donate some time to help out, please get in touch with us. We are always looking for new members as well.
And I was so very honored at the KPFT fundraiser.
Yes.
When members of the Colts dug into their own pockets and donated $100.
Yes. That's because we have been coming to the after hours, and we wanted to help out back to the after hours as much as they've helped us.
Just incredible. Mm-hmm. Just incredible. Thank you so much. So you've done your duty.
Yes.
You have done your duty for KPFT.
We'll keep helping out.
Have any particular fundraisers coming up soon that you're aware of?
The next one we have coming up is, I think it's the 19th. If I'm looking at the calendar from here right, it would be the 19th of August, which is going to be our show. It's called Bare Bones.
Oh, the Bare Bones Show.
And what the Bare Bones Show is the performers have to perform without something that they would normally perform in. If they perform in drag, they may do it without a dress and just their regular clothes, or they may do it without the wig or without the makeup, just to show that there's a lot of people out there who are living on bare bones. They don't have all the options that other people have because they're on limited fixed income.
So it's a very scary show.
A very scary show. And every penny of that show goes towards the AIDS Trouble Fund as well.
Good. That's great. That's great.
Yep.
So thank you.
Thank you
for being here. I treasure the Colts here, and especially since I'm an honorary one.
Yes.
And I really love that little pin.
Mm.
I wear my vest. Yeah.
Well, good. Maybe someday you'll come over and be a full member.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
In that spare time of yours that you're doing nothing else, right?
I know it.
Chris, every time I join another organization,
I know.
In your spare time? Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. 713-526-5738 is the number to pledge for KPFT right now, isn't it?
Yeah. Is anyone out there? They're all in here.
Anybody answering phones?
There's somebody out there answering the phone, I'm sure. Do you have a piece of music, please?
I hope so.
Get to it right now.
I saw a title here that I thought was very appropriate.
Okay. Oh boy.
Similar theme to one you played last week.
Yes.
I don't remember that much. But it's a cover song.
Yeah.
And the title alone just, you know, seems to fit the show all too well.
Who's it by?
Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
Oh my goodness. Oh yes, okay. Go ahead.
Did I hit the right button? Yeah, I did. Okay. Boy, this sounds a lot different than the originals.
I was going to mention that to you. Yes.
A man decides after 70 years that what he goes there for is to unlock the door. He loads around and criticizes sleep. Criticizes sleep. And through a fractal on a breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we tread, happen as we speak, will happen as we speak. But we're never gonna survive unless we get a little crazy. No, we're never gonna survive unless we get a little crazy. One of them's got a bear, he's yelling in my ear. David Pollock finally lost his mind, that was 5 years ago, at an episode show.
Bootlickers with I Just Did Your Boyfriend. And before that, the song by Me First and the Gimme Gimmes was Crazy, and I was thinking more Roy Orbison, Katie Lang version. I don't know what the hell version they were singing. Something out of left field. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener-sponsored, commercial-free, Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, which I got to repeat in 20 minutes anyway, but figured throw it in now. Before we go off to Hatch, this is your opportunity to call in your pledge of support at 713-526-5738. One of the things that we're very proud about with this show is back about a year ago, the station was talking about, we need more youth program, we need more youth programming. We turned to them and said, we've been doing it for several years. And one of the great things about having a segment like this, of having gay youth, queer youth on the radio, is, you know, yes, there's the internet out there, and all you gotta do is type gay into a search engine, but, you know, you'll end up getting up sometimes pornography and the dirty, sleazy stuff that set off the filters, and mom and dad will find out and question you the wrong way, or even finding out the good stuff, like organizations like Hatch and PFLAG, could cause trouble before you're ready for it. But something like KPFT and After Hours, it's easy to have a radio with headphones that you can listen to a program like this and find out a slice of our community and not have to worry about being tracked. You know, for $2, you go down to the 99-cent store and you can get a radio and four batteries, and you can listen to this type of programming in privacy and find out what's going on with the community that you feel that you're a part of. And that's what we're here for, is for the next generation that's coming up. And now that I've stroked their egos enough in there, it's time for the Hatch segment.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. This is the Hatch segment on KPFT. We're going to start things off tonight by introducing ourselves. I am Seth.
Madison.
Melvin.
Greenlee.
Christopher.
Laura.
And Maddie has some information she's going to share. Oh, and hello, who are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm Brendan. Hi.
He's the key one. Anyway, welcome again to the Hatch Radio Show. This is another one of our nice meetings out here at the stations and everything. And so, therefore, we got some numbers for you and a few, a little bit of more information about Hatch. Being Hatch is the new thing. You can find us on the internet if you want at www.hatchyouth.org, which lists program events, status, and who to contact to get more information. The number that you will find is the same number I'm going to give you, and that is 713-529-3590, and everything in which you can talk to one of our program coordinators, and they'll be happy to assist you.
And can we mention the Hatch website?
I already did.
Awesome.
Go there.
All right.
And then we also got the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard Houston, which is 713-529-3211.
All right.
Call that if you need an emergency.
Excellent. So tonight our topic is centered around hate crimes. and hate within our community and discrimination. And what inspired this is the candlelight vigil on Tuesday at 8:30 at MCC, inspired by the two deaths of hate crime victims, Ken Cummings and David Richardson. Very influential people. So tonight we'd like to talk about a few different things. We'd like to talk about how hate affects our community and what happens to people who are affected by hate crimes.
Well, I'd like to say first and foremost that hate creates barriers. And I think as a sexual minority, don't we have enough barriers pushing us down? And how can there be just so much hate in this world when we've seen what oppression has done, we've seen what hatred has done to so many minority groups?
Well, I think one of the biggest thing is, right now we're talking about the hate within our community.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the biggest things is, like, with all the past minority movements, like black rights, women's suffrage, things like that, it was pretty much just, like, one group almost. With us, we're a minority comprised of more minorities.
Absolutely. Because as a community, just to take the first four letters of our community, the GLBT community, we've got gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered. And within that community, and we're an individual community as a sexual minority, but within those different sections, we have totally different standards. We have gay men, and we have lesbian women, and we have bisexual people, and we have transgendered people.
And then race can come into play then, too.
And religion.
And, you know, government stance, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Fascist.
Absolutely. I think our diversity is something to pride ourselves in, because I think that's what started this. I know in the mm-hmm. very beginning, as Madison and I know very, very well, the very beginning was started by butch lesbians and transgendered people. So we have so much to thank for the people that sometimes stand out the most. But let's talk about some of the people that don't stand out. Like, I'd like to bring up bisexuals. Bisexuals, in all respect, I mean, bisexuality, there is biphobia within our community. There's discrimination against bisexuality. And so I'd like to talk about that. What's so wrong, and why do we hate, and why do we discriminate against someone who can find in their soul and their preference is for both? Whether there's a preference for one or more, maybe it's like 50-50, whether it's 90-10, whether it's 80-20. Why do we discriminate? Why do gay and lesbians kind of hit on the bisexual sometimes? I really like to talk about that.
I'm going to explain that for you now. Now, I don't hate bisexuals, but I'm not an advocate for them. Let's put it that way. I don't have the most positive view of bisexuals because at the end of the day, they can go back to a societally approved relationship.
Sure. Absolutely.
They can sleep with man, woman, whatever, but they can always be in a relationship, their woman with a man, and man with a woman, and society just looks at them and smiles.
Sure.
Well, you know, in essence, we could do the same thing. We could sleep with a man or a woman, have a relationship with a man or a woman, even though it'd be empty and completely meaningless.
It'd be so miserable.
I've done it. Okay. Well, let's talk about that, because it is so true, because sometimes the people that shock us the most are sometimes the bisexuals, because you can't always tell. Because sometimes the stereotypes of gay men being so flamboyant, and with lesbian women sometimes being so butch, with bisexuals we've got a middle line. And yeah, we sometimes as bisexuals, you know, they can go home to a, you know, normal and in a accepted in society terms of a relationship, but so could I. And so I think that's really, really big. I think that's something that perplexes me so much, because in a community where we pride ourselves in love, and we have shouted and we have been very prideful in the fact that we have our preferences and we're proud of who we are. So why would we discriminate? Why would we outcast? Why would we be fearful? Why would we have phobias against people who loved both sexes?
I don't have a phobia. Well, I'm kind of like, I don't know, I guess I'm dating a bisexual, but like, it's just like a trust. that I don't trust them.
Yeah, I was thinking a minute ago that could it be this phobia, this stigma we have against them, could it be based on jealousy of their ability to be, you know, more societally accepted, or would it be based on, you know, fear out of a relationship if they would leave us for the opposite sex?
Just one thing I want to step in with clarifying one thing. Just so people know, following Hatch this evening will be the Bisexual Agenda segment here on After Hours. I have a feeling some of you may not have known that.
I think that's
part of the reason why that's the host.
Excellent.
Hello. Telling your fire sometimes.
No. I just wanted, in case there are people who are listening and are
more interested in the topic,
are getting into this, you're hearing one point of view now, or several points of view, and just let you know that following this segment in Hatch, if you're continuing to be interested in the topic of bisexuality, we'll be having our normal bisexuality show following it. But I just wanted to throw that out because of the way, so you understood, this is one of those things with the way we do our show, with having different parts of the community, that sometimes one segment doesn't know that we even have a segment like that on the show. And I know sometimes when Hatch has done a thing like a transgender segment, and we happen to have someone who else was transgendered here, it was like, they're not given the right, this is before Madison was part, this was years ago, you know, it was like, so that understand why things, you may see glares or something like that. So I was just throwing that out to let everybody know.
Thank you.
One of those editorial things.
Absolutely. And I think here in that Hatch segment, I know there are so many of us here, and we have so many different viewpoints of bisexuality, and we come from totally different things. And so that kind of brings me to our next topic, that we like to talk about transgender people. Because in this room that I know of right now, we have at least two people in the Hatch segment that are transgendered. So you want to talk about that?
Yeah, but I was still wanting to go on the bi thing first before you jumped off. God. But I'll tie it in with the transgender thing. I'm Madison, I'm transgendered, we know that. If you've been listening, you've caught on to it. If not, transgender is one person that switches from one society given gender to another, that's more their, who they feel and who it is in the inside. And I guess being transgender is letting me into the bi world for and everything. And yeah, you're looking at me funny. I can see that. But when you think about it, not y'all, the people in here. But when you think about it, I've learned that I have a bisexual preference and everything. And I'm trans, and I'm already going between genders. And yet I'm attracted to both genders. I'm attracted to men and the shapely forms they have, and at the same time, I'm attracted to women and their curvaceous forms. So, I mean, you realize I like both and everything. Granted, I've never had a relationship with either one, but if I see either one on TV and either one's scantily clad, I like it both. So I think bisexuality exists, because I never even knew I was bisexual until I came out as transgendered, and it shows me that I can believe a lot of people out there are bi, and that it's not a lie. And going to a different state at home, like we were talking about, whether they go home to their wife or not, Dr. Marcy Bowers, who's transgendered and also bi and everything, made the one comment on the show she did. If you limit yourself to one gender, you cut down your search for your soulmate in half.
I totally feel you on that. And not to go on a transgendered rant, but as we know, I'm Christopher, and I'm transgender too, and y'all can tell because I sound like a girl, but I look like a boy. And I totally feel you on the thing about understanding your sexual preference through your gender expression, your gender discovery. When I usually explain transgender to people who've never heard of it before, when I told my father, when I told friends who'd never, ever heard of it, because if you break it down, if you just tell someone, I'm getting a sex change, we all know what that means. But when you say transgender, people are like, what does that mean? So I take apart the word for people. Gender, we obviously know, okay? And gender is not like sex. Sex is male or female. Gender is here in our heads. It's boy or girl. And trans, how I look at it, is transitioning. So transgender, and I tell people it's transitioning from whatever you are. And so as that, like, I totally feel you on how you said that you had discovered your bisexuality through being transgendered because of the limits of gender. And I understand that from a very personal point of view, because I've dated transgender people. I've dated men, I've dated women, I've dated transgender people. And to me, love is about the soul, regardless of what's between your legs, regardless of how you were born, regardless of how you identify. Love is about what's inside and what's inside your soul. And I know I'm disgustingly optimistic sometimes, but that's just the way that I see it. That's truly the way that I see it. And I seem, you know, like I'm on cloud nine sometimes, because here I am, and I would love anyone, regardless of what they look like, regardless of what they're born with, regardless of what they wanted to be, truly by what was inside. Now, I like to get feedback about some other non-transgender people. I'm like, you know, what do y'all think about that? What do y'all think about, you know, Madison and I's views about, you know, orientation and gender expression, because they're totally two different things.
Well, they go together.
I see how you all can be so open, seeing you have pushed the boundaries of gender, which I think is awesome. I'm all about that. All about that. But I feel, I think y'all just said it great. I have no opinions about that. Laura?
Mm.
Our resident lesbian? A lesbian?
Yeah.
Well, I can't really say that I have much to say.
Yeah.
Elvin.
No comment.
I think there's a difference between being able to love somebody regardless of what gender they are and who you want to have sex with at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
The big word in homosexual, sex. And I will tell about my relationship. I met someone and I was under the impression that they were a woman identified woman, and when I met them I thought they were just some butch chick. And then a few months after we had fallen in love and da-da-da-da, they tell me I'm a guy, I identify as a guy. And they had this, just, he had this beautiful body and this beautiful face, and it took weeks for me to adjust, because I if you had seen him. But He tells me that, and it took a while for me to adjust to using the correct pronouns and all that, but I had fallen in love with him, who he was inside as a person. So with that, I thought, well, okay, he can call himself Prince Charles. I don't care. I love him already. Now, I am a lesbian. I am attracted to women. I would not consider being with a trans man because he's a guy. That's a guy. I'm attracted to women. Now, I don't know why, and I'll be honest, I would not consider dating a trans woman. And I don't know why that is, and a lot of people are that way, feel that way. I don't understand why that is, but it's just sort of how I feel. But I don't know why we aren't so open to dating trans people. At least I don't think so.
Well, I think... Are we? I think, you know, Brendan had an excellent point about there's a difference between, you know, loving someone regardless of what their gender is and deciding who you want to sleep with at night. Because that's a huge factor. That's a huge factor because, you know, when you meet someone, you've got to have the spiritual, emotional, and physical chemistry.
There's a saying that goes, looks gets you in the door, personality keeps you in the house.
Exactly. So, I mean, the physical, it is a big thing. It's like the doorway. The
thing that, you know, usually, you know, even sparks someone's interest in, you know, starting a relationship with somebody, or, you know, wanting them, getting them to want to do the mattress mambo is, you know, physical appearance, you know. That's the first thing you notice.
And some people.
How do you explain blind people that don't see people for their visit, but they do fall in love?
Serious?
I don't want to jump.
Oh, we just
that's
learned
a completely
that. Learned
different
thing. It's all good. You know, I think that's a very different point of view.
But I'm thinking they don't get it. They got to listen with their ears, and they got to feel the person's personality to get to know them anyway. So, I mean, if you're going to talk about that, then you got to realize that I don't think it matters if you never saw somebody and yet they were your soulmate, because you know by just listening to them, or never seeing them.
Huh? Okay.
You know,
well, you know what I like about that, Madison? What I like about that? And you know, and I'm just gonna take what I like and leave the rest. But you know, you don't really connect me with the, you know, what if someone was blind? But this is how I see it. You know, I know with me, like, and as a human, you know, we all have preferences, and the first thing we see are looks. But I know that I could see the most gorgeous woman, the most gorgeous man, but if they didn't have that click inside, if they didn't have that good personality,
yeah,
they suddenly become ugly.
Yeah.
And that, mm-hmm, that to me could be blind. Because when you truly see past, and as young people, as youth, and I mean, here we are teenagers, our hormones are off the charts, and we're, you know, running around, and and
if
so
you're trans,
when
it's really off the
you
chart.
Know, oh, for real. so when you meet a young person and you're talking about personality, I mean, some of the kids are like, what? But I think that's an excellent point, because it's kind of hard to be blind sometimes when there's like so many limitations when you're in a community, and you know, you got into the world, you don't know who's gay or who's gonna like you, and then you'll kind of take what you can because you don't want to be left alone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Just as a different point of view. That's not what
I'm
I think.
Shallow.
But I know sometimes there's that fear. I know when I've heard people have come out. You know, I know I've read writings and literature from certain transgender people after surgeries and after coming out. The big question, who's going to love me now? And who is going to love you now? Now that, you know, Seth's gay, you know, Greenlee's a lesbian, Laura's a lesbian,
and good at it,
Madison and I are transgendered. Who's going to love us now?
Other gay people?
I think
people?
You gotta love yourself first before anybody else can love you.
Oh. Absolutely.
If you don't love yourself, then it don't matter.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's, I think, to touch back at what inspired the segment about hate crimes and about hatred, I think if we have that internal disgust with ourselves, our own phobias, how can we reach out to other people? How can we make that connection with other people? How can we establish a loving connection when we're confused about how we love ourselves? And here I go on my optimistic thing again.
Yeah.
But that's just the way that I see it. I think that there's so much hope. And when you truly love and accept who you are is when you can truly love and accept someone else. As Greenlee's talked about, you said you met a beautiful woman, you fell in love with this woman, and oh my God, she was a guy, you know? And I feel you. I used to be a femme lesbian. I rocked it. And then I told people, well, whoops, I'm a boy. And so...
well, whoops.
And here we go.
I need to step in for a second here. It's the top of the hour, and so we're going to actually step out for a couple of minutes from y'all. And we'll be back on the topic in just a second.
Thank you.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Yes, and it is, we're in the middle of our mini pledge, our summer mini pledge. That number is 713-526-5738. Pledging for After Hours and KPFT so that we can continue to bring you this great programming without commercials. You notice that we don't, you know, you're not listening for about 3 to 4 minutes then having to hear about acne creams and car commercials and all this other kind of stuff.
It
kind of ruins your train of thought. No, we only have to do this tonight, you know, like every half hour.
Yeah.
To jump in and get folks to try to call in, give your pledge of support so that we can continue the programming.
Yeah, because I was listening. They were at work. They have a radio on in the back. The only station they get is one of those country stations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're probably saying, you know, other stations gave you 16 minutes worth of commercials. We only gave you 8. Well, we here at KPFT give you 0.
There you go.
You're not going to hear about what sodas we got in the machine out back.
Nope.
Or the snacks in the machine. You know, the only type.
Unless we're complaining about them on the air. You
yeah.
know.
And you're not going to hear us. You're not even going to hear us talking about the food they bring in for the pledge drive because it's gone by the time we get
yeah,
here.
Yeah, we never see it.
Yeah, we didn't even get any day old donuts and bagels.
I know. What's the deal here?
But you know, we need for your pledge of support 713-526-5738. We are getting ready to turn 20.
Yes, we are. September the 6th.
And you know, it'd be nice.
It's our birthday.
It would be nice for management to see another gift from our listeners. I mean, we had a great turnout with that event last month, but last month was last month.
Yes.
And we were doing a little back work with yeah. that. And so we need management to know that there's people out there listening to the show who are not incarcerated, who are not listening at home under with a headphone and that, who think that programming like this to give a voice to the next generation in our community is important. You know, it is important to hear, you know, later on we'll have bisexual agenda. Starting back up our transgendered segment. Mm-hmm. We have
the fourth Saturday. Starting this month.
You know, think of it this way. Do you realize out there that Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, and Sean Hannity get more airtime in Houston in one day than queer programming gets in a week?
Yep.
And that including Twist.
Ugh.
That's even including Queer Light radio.
Yes. Very light.
1 week of queer programming outnumbered by one day worth of Limbaugh, O'Reilly, Savage combined. Can you imagine that? Just think about that. And they get the Arbitron ratings, so they know how many people are out there listening. The only way we know is by calling in your pledge of support. Yes. 713-526-5738.
And we know that we have a lot of our straight friendly folks who listen every week. A lot of them. A whole lot of them. Because they want to tune in and see what those crazy queers are doing on the radio this
week. We're not the same kind of people that Pat Robertson shows after the Gay Pride Parade. I don't have a harness.
No. Nor do you want to see him in one.
Speak for yourself.
Or me.
I've got fans.
I have nothing to put in a harness, thank you.
No, I've got more than extra. I'll share. I've offered to share.
I'm concave chested. I know.
It's 713-526-5738. If you're online and your computer already has your credit card number memorized because you're checking out eBay or those other sites that you need a credit card for, switch over to kpft.org. You can pledge your support there.
There you go.
Securely and privately.
Yes, yes.
But we need you to call in and let people know that, you know, give a pledge for the youth.
That's right.
So that we can continue this type of program, this type of dialogue, to hear something besides old fart and middle-aged fart.
I know. Yeah, really. I remember one pledge drive. All of our pledges were received from places outside of the Houston city limits.
Yeah.
Little small towns all around Houston. And you know why? Because in those places, they don't get a lot of queer life.
Yeah.
We may be it.
God, that's scary.
I know. Like,
as much as I would hate Will and Grace to be the face of the queer community, I sure as hell don't. It scares me even more thinking of us as the voice of it.
I know. Well, you know, we bill ourselves as the Laurel and Hardy of queer radio, so
it's a size thing. Turn over to one of the black and white stations.
Yeah, we've got blank looks here from all the kids in Hatch.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Try turning on the tube. I think they show the old stuff like that. So what I want to do is let's
713-526-5738.
Y'all ready to have it thrown back to y'all?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they are.
Yeah. So now back to our regular schedule program already in progress. The Hatchlings.
Thank you.
Did you miss me?
I was just going to say, though, I'm glad I'm the voice, because I want everybody to be able to hear all of us. We're a great influence on people.
Yeah, and just to express gratitude for KPFT, I mean, I really think a radio station like this is revolutionary, because in what other places, in what other circumstances do kids our age with our beliefs get a chance to speak like this?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fabulous. Yep. I don't have any other word to describe it. It's fabulous.
We're thankful beyond measure.
I mean, think about how many adults nowadays would have killed to have what we are able to do and give out now. How many 25, 30 years ago would have killed for that? How many
died for that?
Absolutely. I know in the beginning of when I was just beginning to understand gay culture, when I was first coming out and understanding the community, there were so many things I didn't understand. I really didn't understand the extremes of homosexuality. I didn't get it. But doing more research, doing more studying about how our community became so strong, you gained so much respect for the individuals that stood up for what they believed in and stood up for who they wanted to be. So, back to our topic. Seth, what would you like to add to this?
Which topic?
Well, we have hate. So many going, and all of this is inspired.
I know,
inspired,
we have a lot going.
By hate and discrimination. We've talked about, like, biphobia. We've talked about, we've touched a little bit about transgender people and the kind of misunderstanding there.
What about transphobia?
And yeah, we have so many different...
Well, I could touch on this, on the second two, the biphobia as well as the transgender. Well, right now, the guy I'm dating is bisexual. I used to have a stigma against bisexual people because, you know, several of them had told me, you know, I don't see a relationship with a guy going anywhere because I know ultimately I want to get married to a woman and have kids. And so that kind of led me against wanting to get in relationships with them or even trusting them. But then I thought, okay, then I'll just ask them, you know, first off, you know, could you see something long-term out of this relationship? If not, then okay, we won't go for it. But other than that, I'm not gonna hesitate to give bisexual guys a chance just because they're bisexual. I mean, a lot of my friends, they won't date bisexual people because they have this fear that they're gonna leave them for a woman, and it's like, what difference does it make? If they're going to leave you, they're going to leave you. You know, if it's a gay man, they're going to leave you for a man. Maybe not just one, either. But, yeah, I'm dating a bisexual guy, and as well as the transgender thing, you know, transgender is such a huge umbrella term. It covers basically anybody that I guess you could say violates the gender norms of society.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, sometimes I poke fun at people because of the way that, you know, they express themselves. But, I accept everybody and I love everybody. I mean, like, some of my past romantic interests, they could be, you know, as Nelly as possible, or, you know, they could be like really, really manly, tall, muscle bodybuilders. You know, I've liked pretty much every type there is. It's like I don't understand the reasoning behind having those stigmas and having that fear and having that hate. Me growing up, I was always around such negative energy, such hatred, and it's cruel that we put each other through the things we put each other through.
So why do we do that?
That's what I don't understand.
You're a lady too. Okay, but I think a lot of that comes from our experiences. Like, I wouldn't say that I have a biphobia, but I think the negative stigma that I put to bisexuals is because, from experience, I have nothing but negative experiences when it comes to being in relationships with bisexuals. Every bisexual female that I was in a relationship with, I either was left for a man, or she left a man for me, or she was sleeping with another guy on the side, or she was just with me for the sex and then left. It was never about the love, about an emotional connection. It was just about the nasty, you know?
So you place that stigma on the rest of them.
Well, and see, that's something that I have a huge opinion about. Because I have a theory that fear only exists because of three reasons. Fear exists because of something that has happened to us. Fear exists because something is happening to us, and fear exists because of something that might happen to us. So if we based everything off of, well, one time this happened, we wouldn't be here right now.
It was multiple times.
And it could be. And you might experience that again and again and again. But just because of those experiences and because of that fear that induces that stigma against a certain type of people, isn't accurate enough for me. That doesn't give me the reason. That doesn't give me the spiritual feeding that I'm looking for. When I ask the question, why do we hate? If I ask the question, why do we hate? And someone says, well, it's happened before, then, you know, that's letting fear affect us. And if we, as individuals, let fear affect us, we wouldn't be here right now.
We're using the word hate, and we started off the segment quoting hate crimes, which I haven't seen the connection with this program with hate crimes at all, actually. And in fact, I don't think this segment is about hate crimes. That's a completely other subject, and a completely other topic. But I think this is a great topic, though. But is it hate when, for instance, you say, I prefer to date a lesbian? I want to date lesbians. Is that hate?
You know, you're right, Brendan. I'm thinking the topic of this has turned from hate to lack of to being more. How can I put it? I think I get where you're going. It's not really hate as who you are, what we don't understand, what we understand, how we feel, and everything. It's just what our preference is. We don't hate them, but we don't understand them at the same time. So in a way, it goes to fear them, but we don't need to fear them, and we don't, but we don't understand them.
There are different aspects of hate. Not hate is not only, oh, I'm gonna shoot you, die.
Right.
You know, there's also like, oh, hate is a very fear-based emotion.
And lack of understanding,
right,
and knowledge.
Right. But when you mix it with the term hate crimes, you associate that with the legal definition of punishment for somebody who commits an act against somebody because of their race, sexual orientation, hopefully, including that in hate crimes. So that's where I think the little disconnect was in the beginning.
Groovy. I think it definitely inspired a conversation about discrimination.
No, yeah.
And I think that's pretty good.
Is it okay to have preferences? Because we're talking about, it seems like we're saying there should be no boundaries, that we should love each other regardless of whether you're gay, bi, transgendered, whatever. Has it become such that it's not okay to say, I'm a gay man, I want to date gay men?
Well, no, that's not what we're trying to say. We're not saying it's not okay to have preferences on who you want to date. We're saying there needs to be more acceptance throughout our community. It just so happens that our our line of conversation just kind of went to the dating realm. By acceptance, I mean, you know, there's so many parts of our community that don't communicate with each other, kind of, you know, defeating the phrase community. You know, I know I'm going to use the term gym rats, you know, those big guys who always want to go work out. They won't even talk to or look at guys who, you know, parade around and designer clothing, talking with a lisp, wearing body glitter. You know, there are people in our community who won't associate with them, and then they won't associate with other people, and those people won't associate with other people, and there is really no excuse for that. There's no reason for that.
I don't know if there's much of a connection between lack of association and preference. I think what Brendan was saying about preference, I think, is an excellent question to offer, because preference, like, this is what it's all about. You know, you're gay because that's your preference. You're lesbian because that's your preference. And I think that's a great question. And is preference discrimination? In my opinion, I don't think so. You know, I choose to wear green instead of red. Is it discrimination against red? No.
I'm not trying to talk about dating, though. I'm talking about within our community. I'm not trying to talk about dating.
I'm just answering Brenton's question.
I don't even know.
But no, I don't think preference is discrimination, because everybody has preferences about everything.
For different reasons. For different reasons. And it could be, who knows why we have preferences? Who knows why people walk a certain way? Who knows why people choose spaghetti or lasagna? Who knows why, you know, people choose certain things, boys instead of girls? I mean, who knows? But preference isn't discrimination. But I definitely believe that preference could lead to discrimination. And I think that's what we've touched on.
And you're right about discrimination and everything. I mean, discrimination, it's been used against us by other people, but the sad part is there's a lot of discrimination in our own community. Like, we've touched about the bi, and one thing I've seen, and I know of a trans man and a lesbian woman, I know him, but I know everything. And what I've got is, I'll have the trans woman, I mean, the lesbian woman say, you know, I walk in a group of trans people, and the first thing they say is, oh, you're not lesbian, you're a boots man. Or you're a trans man. And she's like, no, I'm just a boots lesbian that likes women. And then I've heard of trans men that will walk into lesbians, and the very first thing lesbians say is, oh, you can't be a man, you're just a real boots lesbian. I mean, do you realize how our stereotypes and the discrimination is, we don't communicate and we don't accept that these people are a part of our community, but yet they're a different part of it, and we're all united and everything, but we're not all black and white.
And I think that touches a little bit on the butch femme paradigm, because I know when I'm walking along the streets of Montrose, I look like a butch lesbian. And I am certainly not butch. We all know that there isn't a butch cell in my body because I just can't do it.
Put your pinky down when you're saying that.
I know. You know, and I tell people all the time because, you know, girls will come up to me like, oh, you're cute and you're so butch. I say, sweetheart, I'm not butch, I'm boy. So I think when touching on that, you know, expression and how people look, I think that's an excellent concept. Because, you know, like you, people could mistake you as a cross-dresser. And you say, no, I'm actually a woman. And so when people mistake me as a butch lesbian, I say, sweetheart, I'm actually a guy, you know, despite how femme I am. And I know Greenlee has excellent opinions about that.
Absolutely. I think it comes back to the physical. And that's sort of why I dressed like this today, because I wanted to speak about it. I am not butch. I mean, I can be big and brash and curse like a drunken sailor, but I am not butch. I'm in relationships, I'm very passive. But today I dressed in these big baggy pants and a wife beater. And have my hair braided back. And it all comes back to judging the physical. Butch and femme, in my opinion, is not a style of dress. It is more a state of being. I am femme because in relationships I am passive. I am femme because I do not take dominant roles. That's just not who I am. Chris is not butch because he's not some dominating, overbearing, control freak sort of figure. And I think once we stop trying to be so judgmental towards the physical, I think it's sort of a human thing to sort of, okay, well, I'm trying to read this off this person, so I'm going to look basically at what they are, and I mean, how they look like, what I see with my eyes, and make judgments then so I can know, so I can get a read. And I think from our experiences, shouldn't we see that the physical tells us so little? Nothing.
Absolutely, Greenlee. Great point.
I think that's what that all comes down to, mm-hmm. And I think that comes back towards everything we talked about.
Mm-hmm. So you think the butch versus femme thing is passive versus aggressive tendencies?
No. Those were just her personal reasons, and I totally feel Greenlee on that. Those were, she said, this is who I am and this is why. That was her personal story, and mm-hmm. then she mentioned me about how I wasn't butch. And what you were saying about when we meet someone, we want to, you know, kind of click in our head, okay, who's this person? I'm trying to read them. And as a psychology major, it's human nature to not necessarily judge, but to understand what's going on. You look at a person, you think, okay, how can I connect with this person? Who is this person? How do I refer to them? You know, people don't refer to me as he all the time because they don't know that I want to be called that, because I could just be a butch lesbian. We have no idea. So it's human nature to kind of wonder, okay, how does this work? Who are they? What do they stand for? But when that judgment crosses the line and then goes to discrimination of where I'm not going to talk to you because right now you have your hair braided back and you're wearing a wife beater, you know, that's discrimination. So I really liked your input about that.
I don't know, like, I'm the more dominant person in the relationship, but I know I always get made fun of because I'm not like butch enough or whatever, and I get told that I sound like a gay man when I talk, and like, which is also terrible, and like, I don't know, that's just my two cents.
Well, do you consider yourself butch?
I feel like a butch.
Oh, no. Your style of dress is a bit more femme, but does that make you less of a butch?
I don't think so.
Am I less of a femme today because I'm not wearing my full makeup, I don't have my hair in some girly style, and I'm not wearing some skirt and some little top to show off my cleavage and all that?
My best friend Tristan, who lives in Corpus Christi, she has gorgeous long red hair, wears makeup, you know, sometimes paints her nails, she wears sensible clothing, but she, okay, if we were on one, if we were each on a side of a scale, you know, measuring femininity and masculinity, she would way, way outweigh me in masculinity. She is so, so butch.
And that's a beautiful point, and that's back to what Laura was saying about how people tell me I'm not butch enough. And Laura and I connect a lot on that subject because we both like sound like gay men. She has her identity. She seems like a very femme lesbian, but, you know, you just said, you know, you kind of feel butch inside. And here I am, I have this identity as a man, but I'm very, very queer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when she says, well, people tell me I'm not butch enough, you know, no one can tell you you're not anything enough, anything blank, fill it in. No one can tell you, Seth, that you're not flamboyant enough. Madison, no one can tell you that you're not womanly enough. You know, so I think that goes to, on a matter of acceptance.
Yeah, but on that note, you got to remember when they say, like, for me, feminine and everything else, I mean, I push those boundaries every day. I love the nails, dress, makeup, skirt, everything else. At the same time, I like I don't mind sitting in a crowd of people and letting out a belt, scratching my stomach in front of them, and baiting my own hook to go fishing.
And girl, I feel you. I've seen you get down and dirty, and
okay,
I love
that. Okay, well, the first
that.
Two are just bad manners.
And Madison, but no, I feel you on that. I've seen you, like, get down and dirty, you know? We've gone to parties before where you just get, you know, rowdy, and you're just being who you are because that's your expression, and no one can touch that.
Yeah. And so that
especially when she's sleeping.
Well, I mean, look at me. I watched the two movies I watched in the last 2 weeks, Hairspray, Girly Girly, 300, Manly Manly. And yet I loved them both.
And see,
the paradigm.
And I think that's great because, you know, here I am and I identify as a man. I'm not a gay man. I'm a man. I love women. Okay? I am in love with Oprah. I watch The View any chance I get.
Oprah's hot.
Oprah is hot. You know, I mean, but, you know, so none of those things define you. What you do and what you like doesn't define you. Because I like hair and makeup does not define the gender of my soul. And I think that's an excellent concept. And I think what Laura, what you were saying about the butch and femme, and Greenland, what you were saying about the butch, and today you looked butch, but you truly aren't butch. But today, that's your performance. You know, that's your expression today. And as you and I have talked about many times, that gender is a performance, and you know, you can just do it.
Exactly. And I sort of today switched up the roles, seeing if I could handle it, like the serious, I'm like, boy. And honestly, yeah, but inside I am still so femme. I'm still very passive. And does my style of dress or my way of speaking make me any less of a woman, make me any less of a femme, make me any less of a lesbian? So I think it all comes towards, don't define people by what you see or what they may decide to show you, or your own sort of judgments.
So don't hate.
Well, it's just like the things. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I interrupt you?
No. Hurry up. Finish what you're doing.
Well, it's just like the things that, like, what defines butch and femme anyways?
You,
like,
can't, you know, define butch and,
well,
femme.
Like, I'm kind of dating this girl that makes fun of me because I let her, like, open my soda can and, like, light my cigarette, which is terrible.
Okay, Elvin?
Well, like, I was just hearing y'all, you know, talking about, like, I forgot your name over there.
Laura.
Laura. How she says that she feels butch inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Chris, you know, kind of controversial in a way.
Feminine man.
You know, like, Seth, it's, like, so flamboyant, and everyone knows that, you know? You know?
I'm androgynous.
No. Oh, please. Oh, please. Okay. We can't handle Seth
today.
Don't lie. Today, it's Seth's birthday.
Happy
he turned
birthday.
20 today. So yay for Seth. So today we're going to go easy on
and
him.
And No. Now that you're older, you're more mature, and you can deal with this. If I lit a lighter right now, you would still be more flaming than the lighter.
I have actually asked people why they think I'm so flamboyant, and they say it's because the way you speak, the way you present yourself, and the way you dress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I dress with style. I like to look good. I like to have matching clothes.
Baby,
okay,
we have the same problem.
So I enunciate, so I pronounce myself, so I let my presence be known by speaking clearly, loudly, and properly. I and my mannerisms, they just, it's not like I stole them from somebody. I didn't see somebody doing that and say, hey, I want to do that. No, these are, it's just what feels natural to me. But as far as flamboyant, I would say, this is how I would define butch and femme. you know, Butch being more towards the side of the stereotypical, like, 50s man.
James Dean?
I think you've been looking James through too many magazines.
And then them being more like, you know, the 50s being towards the stereotypical 50s woman, you know, the gender roles housewife that they were forced to follow.
Right, the gender roles. Yeah. And everyone has their own personal definitions of what Butch and femme means.
I like how you define that in the 50s, because we're now in the 2000 whatevers, so that the definition of what is more manly and what is more womanly have changed,
yeah,
so that in its purest sense, it's not what it was in the 50s for those people now today, whether you're gay, straight,
yeah,
bi, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those roles have blended into each other so well, being classical man, classic woman, whatever. I think that's an interesting insight.
Yeah, it's like me at work. I carry a pink cell phone, and yet I'm still tell people I'm not gay. And yet I know a lot of guys at work that you would think were gay and flamboyant and really femme, but they're not. They're just straight men, which ties into the gay thing. And you know how many of those people would say, I'd rather go home and cook for my girlfriend than have her stay home and vacuum for me.
Aww.
You know?
But why can't I find a man like that?
And it's just this man's becoming a woman.
That's an excellent, excellent example, because just like Brennan was saying about the 50s, you know, gender back then is totally different than from gender is now. I mean, we have women in business suits. That would be a blow to our mind 50 years ago. But here we are today. Here we are today doing these things and being these two people, and we've got all these wonderful performances going on. I dig it.
I'm also wearing pants, which would have blown their minds.
Oh, yeah, and I'm wearing a wife beater.
Well, that's
like y'all were saying, right?
Public.
About the 50s thingy, whatever. You know, me, I'd rather stay home and be baking all day, you know. I'm more feminine than masculine, let's put it that way. And I like to show it, you know. And, but I'd rather stay home. I'd rather stay home cooking, cleaning, whatever, you know. Instead of slaving myself in the sun, you know, under construction like my work right now. So, yeah, you know.
I think we're all connected that way, and we all have our different views and spots, and each one of us can degrade femme and masculine the same way, and no matter what, it's what we don't understand, how we act and stuff, that goes back to this topic of who our preferences, who we like, who we are, who what we don't understand, and why we have these fears and misinformations about being trans or bi.
Absolutely. And this whole segment started off and we were first inspired by the hate crimes, then we went on to discrimination and preference. So this has been a Hatch Radio segment. And before we end, I'd like to go off and say our names again. And then
well, I'd like to make sure we bring up more of the Hatch numbers and stuff first. Like, the Hatch website, again, is www.hatchyouth.org. The phone number is 713-529-3590. And the GLSH switchboard is 713-529-3211.
And those are the people to call if you're having an emergency and you don't know who else to talk to.
And one more reminder, at 8:30 on Tuesday, at MCC will be the Hate Victims Memorials Day.
I am Seth. Today is my birthday. Woo!
Yay!
Happy birthday. I am Madison. Rock on.
My name is Selvin.
I'm Greenlee. Keep it lesbian.
I'm Christopher.
I'm Laura.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, KPFT.
You bet, and thanks for being here. We'll see you next week. And now, a little music.
There was a man who took a stand to try to shed some light. He said that sexual preference is a basic human right. The school board laid him off and said the budget was too tight. But it sounds suspiciously like homophobia to me. A woman with a child of six could find no place to live. And finally her lover said, "Why don't you just move in?" The landlord made excuses and raised the rent again. Sounds suspiciously like homophobia to me. Oh, it happens every day. No matter what they say, it's
just because you're gay. Homophobia. It happens everywhere. You know it's out of fear. It's just because you're queer. Homophobia.
Some liberals say that it's okay for people to be queer, as long as they don't flaunt it. But it seems to me, my dear, that we've seen straight folks flaunt their sexuality for years. Sounds suspiciously like homophobia to me. There was a man who shot our first gay supervisor dead. The Twinkies made him do it, that's what his attorney said. He could have gotten life, but he got 7 years instead. Sounds suspiciously like homophobia to me.
It happens all the time. It's not considered crime. It's just another sign of homophobia. It happens to the dykes and faggots on their bikes, young and old alike. Homophobia.
Now AIDS has claimed so many lives and still there is no cure. And if they don't spend more on research, it will keep on killing more. Because it's called a gay disease, it's easy to ignore. Which sounds a lot like blatant homophobia to me.
It happens left and right. That's why we must unite. We gotta stand and fight that old homophobia.
It's just a bit.
Our friends, the Scissor Sisters, with I Don't Feel Like Dancing from their latest CD. Ta-da! I like it. It didn't have the commercial appeal that they were hoping for. But still a good CD. Before that, some old stuff. Romanowski and Phillips with Homophobia, which kind of tied in to the Hatch segment. But we are now with the Buy segment. And before we get there, I want to remind folks that we are still in pledge drive. And that number is 713-526-5738. We got a great pledge from long-term listener, Jim. He's been listening for quite a few years now and has pledged before. Mm-hmm. I know that name. I've seen that name on pledge forms before. So this man is, he puts his money where his ears are.
Oh, good. How's it going?
And he's got us well on our way. So we would love to have some more pledges from some more Jims out there, or Jills, or whoever.
Or Jacks.
There you go. 713-526-5738. And finally, we've got a buy segment.
Yes.
No thanks to me.
All righty. Comedy of errors.
Yeah, last month was just, I don't know, I was... I've got to let Chris do all of this scheduling,
right.
I think.
Right.
Well, I was just talking about how we screwed him up last month.
Well, sometimes I like being screwed up, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah, that's quite different, yes.
We bounced them around more than...
I know it! And then just kind of scheduled them out and forgot about it, and I just felt so bad. Anyway.
I felt like my glasses were.
And, what are you two doing tonight?
Well, let's do a quick introduction. This is the Bisexual Agenda segment.
Ooh.
Of, you know. After our shows.
And we have some announcements to make.
And who are you?
Yes, who are you?
I'm Robin.
I'm David, also known as Beloved Great Bear.
Yes. So, yes, you are.
And we're going to start with a couple of announcements, kind of help some friends of ours.
Sure.
I'm going to start, you know, that if anything we say kind of perks your curiosity or you want to, you know, send us hate mail or whatever.
Yes.
You know, a couple of ways that contact us here for this segment. We have a special email address. It's buyagenda@peoplepc.com. Or you can contact
us. Okay, that's buyagenda@peoplepc.com?
Yes.
Okay.
Or, of course, through the show here.
Mm-hmm.
Also, both Rahm and I are involved with a group called Binet Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And they are one of the people involved there, the Rose. Has been setting up a new website for us.
Rose and Pago?
Yes.
Yeah.
Got the address here. It's binethouston.info. I-N-F-O. It's a new website. It is up and running. Probably still having stuff added to it.
Oh.
And this is replaces a website that Gigi had originally set up.
Okay.
And for whatever process it got where basically, you know, still a lot of good information, but it was getting a little dated.
Sure.
And got where basically you couldn't get access to it to change it.
Oh, okay. So just doing another one. And the website again is?
Basically, I guess you're www.binethouston.info.
Really?
Yeah, I-N-F-O.
Oh.
Apparently it's cheaper to go with info than .com or something like that.
That's a new one on me.
Right. But it does work. I've been there.
Oh.
Also, Rose...
I'll bet you have.
yes, I have. I'll be quite happy to tell you about it later.
Okay.
Also, Rose asked us to learn a couple things that Binet Houston will be doing. Apparently, World's AIDS Day will be, I think, December 1st or whatever the first day of December is.
December 1st.
And that also corresponds when Binet Houston has their movie night.
Oh, it must be on a Saturday, huh?
Right.
First Saturday of the month.
Yes, Rob and I were over at that earlier this evening.
Yes, yes. It's a shame your segment is on tonight because you don't really get a chance to promote the movie night.
Well, as a side note, this is very tentative, but I was talking to Gigi on the phone last night. He was asked me if we, you know, he normally comes on the second Saturday. He was at, asked me if we would be interested in trading places.
Sure.
And
works for me.
He's supposed to get together with you at some point to make it official. So
okay.
Maybe by, you know, starting in September.
Okay.
But then it may become a little easier to promote Binet Houston.
Yeah.
But the point is, the plan is for Binet Houston to have, you know, first Saturday, December 1st, World AIDS Day. We'll be doing some things to, you know, quote-unquote celebrate that. Or
sure.
Promote safe sex and how to deal with that. Apparently, we'll, you know, we usually have a potluck supper and then have a show a movie. I think the plan is for the movie for that night will be Attack of the Killer Condoms.
Ooh. Ooh, that sounds good.
So,
I figured you remember that.
Have you seen that?
Oh, yes. Killer Condom. Very, very weird movie.
Is it, what kind of
movie? Oh, Jimmy, you remember when we was at Gene's party and we was in the hot tub and you asked me what that was and I said, Attack of the Killer Condom.
Oh, okay.
And you had the most funniest look on your face.
It's a trauma film.
It's a what?
Trauma. The same company that brought you the Toxic Avenger.
Yes. Oh, okay.
It is a German film set in New York City about this police detective. Kind of looks like Sipowicz.
Yes.
Little old, little pudgy.
From NYPD Blue.
Who, Dennis Franz.
Yes.
His real name. Who is investigating all of these deaths of hustlers and prostitutes and Johns.
Yes.
And they're having their privates removed.
Ooh.
And dying from that.
Ouch.
Yeah.
And it's this search for these killer condoms.
Oh.
And, It's interesting. It's got a lot of, you know, the gay subculture. They have a straight homophobic cop who's going undercover in a gay bar, and he gave him a yellow hanky to wear in his back pocket.
Oh my god!
And the cop came back all
pissed off.
Yeah. I was going to say that, but man, my god, that pun is even too bad for me.
Somebody once said he'd rather be pissed off than pissed on.
There you go. Good,
so. And he said, be thankful I didn't give you a red hanky.
Yeah, no kidding.
And he explained what it is and basically gave the Black Power salute. Yes. For those of you who don't know what the red hanky means, sometimes you're Kermit the Frog, sometimes you're Jim Henson.
Oh.
Being green.
I see. Anyway,
it's
okay.
Very funny.
I like how nonchalantly Robin put that. Remember, Jim, when we were at Jeans in the hot tub?
Yeah, we was in the hot tub.
Yeah, we were.
And Gene put the movie on,
yeah.
And you asked, what is that? I said,
yeah.
Attack of the Killer Condoms, and boy, I wish I had a camera.
I think that apparently happened before I met Robin. So
yeah, this
yes.
Was,
what you
this
two been doing while I was around?
This was before you came into the scene.
Right.
Surprise.
Last time I saw the movie was at Midtown.
Okay. And one more thing, then we can move on to the other festivities. Again, something Rose asked, we talked about a little bit. Look at the paperwork she gave us. Robin may have to help me remember some of this. Rose is involved with a group called the Houston Transgender Unity Committee.
Yes.
And she is promoting a raffle to help raise money for a scholarship program that they're sponsoring. And
where can we get the tickets?
I know she said, Rose told us that she's going to be over at the BRB tomorrow night.
Oh.
Selling tickets. And
what's the raffle for?
Well, let's see. The first prize is a 5-day cruise.
Ooh.
Wow. Carnival Ecstasy. I guess that's the name of the ship.
Wow.
And
that's exactly what I want.
Okay. I don't have any tickets to sell you, but I probably can get you some.
So I have to go to the BRB tomorrow night?
Yes.
Okay.
And
what time?
Now that I don't remember.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
There's going to be some event going on most of the afternoon.
Okay.
I think the drawing is supposed to be made another week away. So.
Oh, really? That soon?
Yeah. Trying to look at the paperwork. I know there's I think the Houston Transgender Unity Committee does have a website. I don't know. And none of this... No, the paper. Oh.
I'm on that website.
Okay,
actually.
You might look that up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, just do a word search.
It's a Yahoo group.
Yeah, okay.
And it's, I can't think of it. Unity something. I don't know. I can't think of it right now.
Yeah, I know that the other prizes, like maybe concert tickets or...
Oh, neato.
Movie rentals or something. I forget.
Okay.
It's some maybe staying, a two-day stay in Galveston.
Mm-hmm.
And some... stay in some very nice hotels or something like that.
Sounds fabulous.
Yeah.
We did actually have a raffle ticket with that information wrote down, and right now we can't find it.
I can't find it. It's somewhere.
Okay. So, and how much are the raffle tickets?
$1 each.
Oh, that's cheap. Okay.
Right.
So, see Rose tomorrow night at the BRB.
Right.
That's at 2400 Brazos, right behind Specs Liquor.
All righty.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, moving on to the primary subject for tonight, I also want to say we're going to offer our editorial rebuttal to what the hatchlings were saying
earlier. Oh, yeah, we can
really?
Do that.
But in practice, I picked up what they were saying, though. I came in and was listening to them.
Okay.
I heard it outside in the conference room.
And so what kind of rebuttal to what they were saying in particular?
I think they started out talking about hate crimes that kind of evolved into discrimination in general and projections of people projecting on each other.
Sure.
You know, how apparently some have had experiences dating bis and kind of wondering, is this person going to leave me for a man or a woman? And
does it matter?
I mean,
it doesn't matter to me.
You know, no matter who you date, somebody could leave you for someone else.
Right.
It could be straight or gay or whoever.
Yeah.
They could still leave you for somebody else.
Yeah.
But the way that ties into what I think might be a fun conversation since, you know.
Well, I kind of... experienced that the young lady was talking about earlier, and I experienced on the other end. She experienced the other end that my ex-girlfriend had experienced. It's basically, she was worried that I was going to go mess around, leave her for a man.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, eventually ended the relationship because it was getting worse. She was getting paranoid. It was getting very bad. So, and I kept telling her that I don't do those things. As I say I'm going to do something, I'll do it. And if I'm thinking that I'm going to go fool around somebody else, I'll usually tell you first.
And that's what you've done with me.
I do that with every relationship that I've ever had.
Yeah, and basically, I do the same thing with you.
But for some, by her, I think she might have been bisexual because she did like men, but she was going through the stages where she didn't want to settle it yet, so she was just putting herself as being a lesbian. But she was going through the same thing that the young lady probably was experiencing, that she was worried that the other person was going to leave her. And another thing I picked up that she was commenting, which I kind of didn't notice that a lot of lesbians was going through that, because I was talking to her actually out in the conference room before they did the hex segment, and basically I was telling her that, you know, I was always wondering why lesbians are so, you know, don't like women that are bi. Well, I see a lot of gay men with their boyfriends are being bisexual. I don't know, it might not be true, but that's my experience. And she was saying that she was kind of have a little envious there, that, oh, they are free to basically go back to the normal world, so-called world where people accept you. And then you can kind of go back to being into this other world where the world don't accept you type thing. And I kind of got that a little bit, you know, that she kind of had this envious because she's not attracted to men, so she can't bounce back and forth like that. So she kind of get a little envious or something like that feeling, you know.
Hmm. Anyway, that's a subject I was thinking we might talk about tonight. Just give us something to talk about and have some fun. That, how do, say, men... Yeah, men relate to bisexuality as opposed to how women might experience bisexuality. You know, I've had my own experience, I've kind of thought about and observed and talked to other people and gotten feedback. And like I said, I have some of my own ideas. You know, how do I, as a man, you know, respond to this? How, you know, what does this mean for me? And of course, you know, you being female, of course, what does that mean to you? What does, you know, the fact that you can have a dual attraction or, you know, multiple attraction, I think you're bigger than just saying dual. and how it might be different between men and women.
Well, to me, difference between men and women, men have a tendency to be more mechanical and physical.
Right.
So a lot of times when I'm with a guy, it seems it's mostly go that direction, but with a woman, it's more emotion. Cuddling,
right.
You know, basically just cuddling and being more, you know, cuddly. It's more of a spiritual thing for a woman, for me anyway, than it is for men.
Right.
Because men have a tendency to not want to be that spiritual. They kind of...
As a group.
Chemical. As a group, in general, not all men, but you know.
Yeah, I know some... I think we both know some exceptions, and then, of course, as part of my, you know, sexual healing, I'm, you know, ask myself questions about, you know, how can I sort of make this, you know, more enjoyable or better, you know, or help out with our relationship. You know? So, you know, as a guy, as a male, yes, I'm definitely a sexual being. I enjoy it. I am capable of having, you know, I'm basically enjoying being sexual, be either men or women. And yes, there definitely is, hey, it's the physical. I like these feelings. But I do have that sense of, you know, yeah, and, yeah, I still want to have that connection to this person. I mean, occasionally I'll go to one of the bathhouses, one of the spas here in town. And generally speaking, you know, enjoy it. But I've not, well, at least my own experience, though, is there's really, most people really do not, most of the men I see meet in these places really are not talking to each other. There's very little interaction, except maybe, you know, if, you know, meet up some guy who say, hey, let's go to my room. And, you know, once you're in there, it might be, a, you know, talking, might, you know, kind of, you know, trade names and get a little, get to know each other. But, you know, the initial contact a lot of times is I'm just, you know, be standing there in this dark corner and somebody just reaches for me. And in this case, where either I accept that or I walk away. But there's really no, you know, going up to someone and say, hey, hi, how are you doing? If anything, if I try to talk to somebody, a lot of times they walk away.
You didn't walk away when I reached for you.
Okay.
Well, a lot of times, maybe why you don't see a lot of bathhouses for females. Because even lesbians, bi or straight women, we're more like to want to talk to each other first before we even touch each other. Because it's more of a spiritual thing for us than
not, it is. No, not all lesbians
not
are that
all
way.
The time.
I've heard plenty of lesbians wish they had a bathhouse.
Well, me, I would like to have a bathhouse because every now and then I'd like to just jump and just have sex. You know, just go and do it and okay.
See?
And some other times I like to, you know, talk or whatever.
Right.
But a lot of women that I run across, most of the time they're more into the emotional. Spiritual stuff. I'm not all women. No,
right.
Hell no. But I mean, because some, you know, like me and the lady that was on named Jules, she was mentioning that it was more bathhouses for women. But most of the majority is, you know, that women. I went to lesbian bars, and you know, trying to talk to a woman. And it takes, like, a time for you to really get to, like, third base or whatever with them. It's, like,
right.
almost months before you really, really get into action. With her, that girlfriend I had, it took about almost a whole month or two before we really done anything seriously.
Now, how would you say that compares with your experience with men?
Usually it'd be, like, the next day.
Like,
if it was up to the guy, it'd be, like, right away.
Yeah, right. Whereas my experience between men and women is, with the women, yeah, I better... plan on taking my time because it's going to take time, you know. And whereas
well,
the men,
with
a lot of time,
all women,
right.
Though.
Now I can look at that and stand back and say, you know, that actually does make some sense because ultimately, yes, maybe whoever it is, yes, I am definitely interested in the sexual, being sexual with them. But at the same time, I like to know, get a sense of knowing who they are at least a little bit, so at least I know I'm safe with them. And of course, there is actually a part of me that says, hey, I want to at least get to know this person. Maybe get to be friends or something. You know,
yeah.
I still have that want for that connection, that some degree of connectedness.
Yeah,
just not the,
there are plenty of guys out there that are that way. Others willing to wait and want to really get to know the person and wants to settle down with somebody, get married or whatever with them or whatever, how you want to do it. But there's a comment that Itachi, they had a special on Channel 8 called the Connections, I think the name of the show.
All right.
Woman's Connection or something. And they had her on there. And she usually does her show like on Tuesday mornings.
Yeah, the Earth 101 program.
Yeah, Earth 101. It's Tuesday mornings at 10. And she said something about, and it really got my attention, was like women, a lot of women ask, why men are so sexual? Why do they always want to have sex all the time, you know? And she was saying that maybe it's because they're disconnected from their bodies. And because they're so disconnected to their bodies, they're trying to gain something, so they always want to have sex. Well, when you run across men that are connected to their bodies spiritually and mentally and everything, that they don't have to do it all the time. They don't, you know, they can, like, go without it or whatever.
Okay.
It's not, they like it and they enjoy it and everything, but it's not the most important thing on their list. And somebody don't want to do it, it's like, okay, you know.
Right.
Some guys just sit up there and pile, like, well, you know, like, well, why, you know?
Right. Okay.
Okay, I need to jump in here and remind folks that they are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on good old listener sponsor Pacifica Station, KPFT Houston 90.1 FM and KPFT Galveston 89.5 FM.
All right.
And to also remind folks that we are in the middle of our Summer Pledge Drive, the Summer Pledge Drivette. And
yes.
It's a short one. So we're not going to be after you for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks.
Sometimes I like those long ones, too. But
oh, yeah, but, you know. Those short ones are usually, you know,
right,
a lot stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out in my truck and get my rubber boots here in a minute.
He got that a raincoat number, in there, too.
That right. Number is 713-526-5738. We started out with a wonderful pledge from Jim, a long-term listener, and we got another matching pledge from Lori. Another long-term listener.
All right.
So it's just, I'm loving it. You know, all the folks that have been listening for a long time realize the value of queer programming and that we bring you 3 hours of gay life and bisexual life.
Right.
And transgender life and lesbian life every week. Mm. And from 1 to 4, we can bring you the real.
Yes.
Your life, people.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to be, you know, we don't have to be nice prime time. We can tell you the real facts.
Right.
What's so good about this station, too, is it allows us to talk about, do you know any other station on their airways or even on television that talks about bisexuality or even acknowledge that bisexuality exists?
No, or treat it as a joke.
Right.
Yeah.
Or that it's just somebody sitting on the fence. They don't treat it as a viable orientation.
Right.
It's more like two women going at it. Just to set aside some straight guy's fantasy. You know.
Right.
So this is the only show that basically takes bisexuality at first value and takes it very seriously as a real orientation.
Yeah.
It's not, and you're born like that. It's not so made up, or it's not.
Not any other in the city, probably not the state, and I.
Probably not the country. Not.
Wow.
I haven't heard anything else.
All right. Well, we get another pledge?
We did indeed.
All right.
From Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Wow, thank you very much.
Well, keep those pledges coming in. Pledge early and pledge often. I was going to just throw out my own thoughts about pledging to the station that, you know, this here is a non-commercial station that does not sell commercial space
and
to make help pay the bills. And
so Robert gave us, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but
right.
Robert gave us a pledge.
All right.
And then we got another pledge in cash.
All right.
From
Cash Takes the Command.
From Anonymous.
Okay. The Anonymous
family.
Which
I'm loving.
Check back in.
I'm loving.
All right.
Wow. Wow. That is so cool.
Anybody wants to pledge?
See,
no one
I love it.
No.
I love it when we can do that. You know, just,
yeah.
Jimmy.
Just say.
Anonymous.
I'm not anonymous, Jimmy.
It says.
No, it's a Scotty.
Okay, okay, come up here. And
oh, I read the wrong thing. Okay.
Yeah. Pull up the microphone and say who you are.
Ta-da! Thank you, Scotty.
You're welcome.
All right.
Yes.
We met our goal and surpassed it.
We did?
Yes.
Oh, well, good. Holy yeah. Shiite.
But this next week's another story.
I know it.
Oh,
know
we'll
it.
Make it next week.
We'll make it next week. That's all right. Right. Thank you. Thank you, folks. Great. Okay, right. So let's go on with the show.
All righty.
All righty.
So, what are we talking about?
So, okay. we're talking about
going to get naked and do some nude radio.
I can do that.
What I was saying was,
Oh, my virgin eye. Please. No. No.
Hmm? What I was saying was,
For another pledge, I'll take the rest of the clothing off.
I see. Somebody please pledge.
Yeah, right. Now I'm going to reach my shirt where I just threw it. Folks, just in case you're wondering, for those listening on Black and White Radio, I just took my shirt off and threw it at the window between me and Jimmy. So, you know, tempting him.
Yes, and it's working.
Right. Keep talking, Robin.
Oh, my. He's trying to find it.
I was talking about Itaji show.
Yes. Itaji?
Itaji, yes.
Itaji Abdul Aziz.
Yes. And I love what she said.
One of the best programmers that's ever been on KPFT.
Yes. I love what she said about men being disconnected from mm-hmm. their bodies. And I was like, that makes sense. And I asked David, did it make sense to him? He said, yes, it does. Makes a lot of sense to him. And I was like, because they were taught not to be emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And not being emotional is being detached from your body. And it's like, I never looked at it that way. But that explains why, like, David would tell me he would be, like, wanting to have sex with, like, oh, God. And I'd be like, don't feel like it. And he said, I hate that. I like being so pushy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. I want to be able to just like, okay, y'all want to do it, we can, whatever.
You know, take a break every now and then.
It's like, why is it I'm so horny and why I got to be having sex all the time? I'm like, ugh, you know, it's like, and that might be the answer right there. And I was like, this woman is good.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of, I've been involved in men's work for mm-hmm. several years. I'm involved mm-hmm. with a group called the New Warriors.
Yes.
And I was involved with other programs before I got involved with that. And that's a lot of times what we talk about in those groups is, you know, doing or helping with, say, a men's emotional healing. Since, mm-hmm. you know, as a culture, and this, you know, in our American culture, it's not really unique, but this, you know, that's what I'm living in, so that's where I speak from. You know, as a kid, I was, you know, grow up, you know, got the message, boys don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
And that necessarily didn't stop me from crying, but when I started getting negative feedback about it, including sometimes, you know, physical harm,
mm-hmm.
I eventually figured, I better stuff this.
Yep.
And in the process, just took on some of those messages, you know. And a lot of times I took on messages because I didn't know any better. I didn't know that maybe there was an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, nowadays, you know, here I'm 48 years old, and unlearning some of those messages.
And it takes a really long time to unlearn messages that you learned when you were that young.
Right.
Because at that age, it really gets ingrained into you, much
right.
like being in the closet about being different.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you're bi or gay or lesbian
right.
or trans.
See, that's right. why I say the difference between men and women is, like, when I was growing up, and most women, you'd be a tomboy. Oh, she's just a tomboy. Nobody and allow you to be like that. Oh, she can roll out of it. Nobody didn't ever punish me or scold me for wanting to play with boy mm-hmm. toys, wanting to be rough, go out and play outside. Well, if a boy tries to want to do, like, stuff that girls do, they get scolded.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, if I fall down and hurt my knee or something, or somebody hurts my feelings, I'm crying. Oh, it's going to be okay, you know, mm-hmm. don't cry, it's all right. And when a boy does, it's like, oh, stop that, you know, that's being, you need to be a man,
right.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, in a way, why women might be a little more not. There are some women out there that are very sexual, nipple maniacs and stuff. But for a lot of women and myself, we love to have sex. But it's like, if we can't get any, we ain't gonna fall apart. It's like, okay.
My own thinking is that, you know, what we're talking about here, sexual orientation, a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
There is probably, bottom line, a biological reason. But there's still a lot of that social influence.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because obviously there are biological differences between men and women.
Right.
Right. So, but there are a lot of social influences and unfair ones, too.
And we humans are social creatures. Therefore, that is part of our nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people ask, well, is this nurture or nature? My answer is usually yes. Yes. I mean, yeah, you know, when I call myself bisexual, my baseline, you know, very, you know, do a brain scan or something, where, you know, basic nature's favors being straight. But somehow I have what I might call a bisexual attitude, mm-hmm. an awareness, you know, there's more going on. And quite frankly, if some guy did, you know, when it comes to that, you know, I've had, you know, sexual experience with men, quite frankly, I liked it. Even though, you know, if you put, have me looking at both a man or a woman, I would be more prone to want to look at the woman than the man. But I have had the experience of telling me I can have fun with either and probably enjoy it.
Yes.
I find with you a lot of times that you are more attracted to women and stuff, but your reaction towards being sexual towards a woman is not as much as it is a man. So I would get the wrong information.
Right.
So when I first met you, I thought maybe you were more attracted to men. But it may be just the idea that you never really got comfortable with women, and it's not knowing what if you're gonna get, you know, rejected or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you find yourself being able to go in with a man because you know, you kind of know what to expect.
Yeah, no, Robin, it's because men are pigs, and and when we're together, you know, it's one pig with another pig, and so
we're pigs and we're proud of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Get used to it.
And it, you know, sex between men comes easier.
With
a man and a woman.
Years ago, I was working with this man. Used to do these workshops in town, and during one of these workshops, he's making this comment about that, you know, it's kind of like makes sense that, say, men might be want to be having sex with men, women having sex with women, because, you know, you're basically having sex with yourself. I've had the experience, you know, doing something with some other guy and kind of having a sense of what would feel good to him because I got my own body used as a reference.
Exactly.
It's the same thing with me with lesbians.
That's
I mean,
right.
I know what makes her feel good. I know exactly what parts of her body and inside of her body, outside of her body. Women are more prone to, you can touch parts like her neck and things like that, and they love that just as much as you was touching their private parts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that reminds me of something I've noticed about myself, when I ask myself, yes, I am sexually interested in both men and women. And I kind of prefer you say the word interested as opposed to attracted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in my mind, attracted is something based on looks. Yeah, again, like I said earlier, if you put man and woman next to each other and I looked, I probably would find the woman, quote unquote, more attractive. But I might be equally interested in both. And to me, this kind of explains why I really did not pick up on my bisexual tendencies earlier than I did.
Because I think there's such a variance with bisexuality.
Oh, yeah.
They're more male-leaning bisexuality or female-leaning bisexuality. It depends on who you are attracted to emotionally.
Right.
For one thing, as to who might be the better partner, because not every bisexual is equally interested in men and women.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, I've noticed with myself that, say, when it comes to, the emotional, again, here we're getting kind of playing with words, in some ways I'm actually more emotionally attracted to men than to women. But having said that, I'm probably more romantically attracted to women than to men.
Yeah.
You know, thus, my primary relationship is with a woman. Though I might still want to go play with a guy sexually and probably still have a sense of connection
to
him. Also, with
but
my...
Which gender gets your dick hardest?
Right. Both do it in different ways.
Yeah.
That's the thing I've, you know, talking to other bi men, you know, mm-hmm. reading about them, my own experience, that for me, say, personally, if I'm, you know, I'm, at least from a sexual perspective, if I'm being with a sexual woman, I tend to want to be the, you know, well, like, you know, basically the top or the more assertive.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm being sexual with a man, I tend to prefer being the more submissive, you know, or the bottom, as they say.
It's the same thing with me. When I'm with a woman, I can be a top. I can basically strap on and, I can basically strap on and straddle female. But, like, I could, basically with a man, I'm most submissive. I prefer the guy to dominate, be the dominant.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I was looking for that article I gave you.
I gave it to Robin, and that's the last time I saw it, so it may still be in the other room. Okay, she has it.
Okay. I didn't want to stop anyone from talking.
Right.
The article.
Meanwhile, backstage at the radio station.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Just as background, Jimmy gave me an article he got out of a magazine concerning anal sex.
Yeah, because I want to read parts of it.
All righty. I found that photo they used kind of interesting, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, reminds me of a cartoon I saw once. Kind of not quite as graphic as the photo, but same idea. So, well, like I said, you know, when I compare my experiences with men and women, you know, like I said, there's... Again, with women, I tend to take on the quote-unquote more traditional role, what men are supposed to do. With men, it tends to be kind of like to be kind of the ones being made, being fussed on. Just, you know, make me feel like a woman I am. Now, in dealing with that myself, of course, I say I want to take on the more submissive role, though when I find myself saying that to myself, my brain starts reacting against the term submissive. You know, men are not supposed to be submissive. You know. And, you know, I have had a couple of experiences where some guy, you know, trying to be sexual with some guy and be kind of more submissive, but then start having experience where I was about ready to give that guy, about to kick that guy where it would hurt badly. So it's like, you're doing good. You're being too hard, boy.
Did you find that article?
I don't know where it went.
Damn.
Did you leave it out? Leave it in the...
Not that big of a studio, honey.
Okay, she's...
Okay.
She's going to check on it.
So where were we?
Talking about sex roles.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah, I was commenting about my own experience compared between women and men is with women. Being sexual with a woman,
mm-hmm.
tend to take on the quote-unquote traditional role of being more, you know, assertive.
Yes.
You know, the quote-unquote top. When I'm being sexual with a man, what I find myself being attracted to, and can be a little uncomfortable, but just being honest with myself that works, being in the more submissive role.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I've had the experience of one, you know, some guy, last time I was over at one of the spas, some guy started kissing on my ear and rubbing his hands all over me.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you just go ahead and do whatever you want, darling.
Oh.
And then he did it for about a minute, then he walked away. He's like, wait a minute, I'm not finished yet.
That's what I don't understand. What's up with that? Doing something for a few minutes and walking, I was like, what is up with that?
You know, I'd like to get our crew in here.
Okay.
Can we do that?
That could be arranged.
Thank you.
Now, as a...
Because I'm going to read something, and I want different opinions about it.
All right.
Okay. Okay.
And also comment and talking to other bi men.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be a common theme, at least from bi men who might be otherwise straight. You know, they come from that background.
Okay. They are mostly straight, but they give themselves, they allow themselves to explore that part of it.
Right. I mean, I've been to a couple of parties
mm-hmm.
of all bi men, and they're all bottoms.
Oh,
no,
tell
tops
me. I know it. That's the kind of the stereotype.
Right.
Bisexual men are all bottoms.
Right.
And the other stereotype, let's see, is bisexual men want to have a relationship with a man and a woman at the same time.
Right.
And a bisexual woman wants to have serial monogamy.
Right.
Well, only time when they're not bottoms, all of a sudden I show up and everybody's a top on me.
That's happened.
That happened. I don't know many times at parties.
Okay, do we have all the people we're going to get?
I think so, Jimmy.
Okay. Okay, here we go.
All right. Everybody tuning in.
The name of this article is, Is It Okay to Demand Anal Sex? And it's from an article from Details Magazine, which is sometimes queerer than The Advocate. With all due respect to Salt and Pepper, let's talk about Todd. Todd is a friend of a friend. He is a rare breed, a finance guy who lives in L.A. He's been dating the same ladylike woman for 3 years. They are the picture of late 20-something, Amstel-light-drinking America. The very first time they slept together, they had anal sex. Miss Ladylike had never tried it before. For the next 5 months, anal was the only kind of sex they had. Supposedly, Todd had intimacy issues, and penetrating Miss Ladylike's rectum was less emotionally intense than venturing into the vagina. Eventually, Todd did the deed with Miss Ladylike in the usual way, and continues to, but they still have a whole lot of anal sex. So apparently do a lot of other people. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimated that in 2002, 38% of men ages 18 to 59 had entered a woman's back door. 35% of women ages 25 to 44 had invited men in. 10 years before, only 26% of men and 20% of women reported having had anal sex. Anal is the new oral, says syndicated sex columnist Dan Savage. I used to get letters from women about giving head. Those letters are now dwarfed by letters from women asking how to take it up the butt. Okay,
ask
but
the gay man, he'll know.
But pronouncement and statistics that indicate the rising popularity of rear guard action don't address some nagging questions. The biggest one being how, presuming they haven't had their own rectums messed with, can so many guys justify asking women to let them take the service elevator? Philip, an engineer in Chicago, says he and his friends request a ride in the back seat because it's a harder to reach goal than old-fashioned intercourse. Once a guy has anal sex, he's put on a pedestal by his peers, he says. He claims he hasn't had much trouble getting women to agree to it. I only had to persuade two girls, can I put it in your butt? At first they were like, no, it will hurt. Then, time after time of having sex with them, they finally said okay. It hurt them the first time, but after that they always said they enjoyed it. If not a little, then a lot. For other men, the appeal of anal penetration is less the novelty and the fact that it gives them a good story to tell over beers. So, what I'm asking here is, from a perspective of a bunch of gay men and a couple of bisexuals and I don't know what all.
Well, there's one female, that's token female here.
Right.
Don't forget the transsexuals.
No. And transsexuals. Do you agree with this or disagree with this article on male-female anal sex?
I think about my own experience. Years ago, bought myself a porn tape.
Mm-hmm.
It was women getting it, you know, anal sex. And when I bought it, I was thinking, so why do I want to buy this? Well, because, quite frankly, there's something I find attractive about being the bottom myself.
Ah.
You know.
Me, I always wondered back then, when I was younger, I thought maybe the guy was closet gay or something, because it's like, here I got this functional vagina, but they want to go in my butt. And it's a lot messier and everything than a vagina.
Well, it doesn't have to be.
I think the thing is, too, is that a lot of guys don't necessarily want to take a woman's virginity vaginally. mm-hmm. and they prefer anal over vaginal.
Do you think it has something to do with it erases the fear of pregnancy?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing,
I
too.
I think that very lot.
Although there are some people that are proof that they can conceive through anal sex.
Yes.
Well, I can think of a couple of dirty jokes there. I'll think, I won't say anything about them.
Yeah, we don't want to piss off the FCC.
Are you talking about Republicans again?
Of course.
Actually, Republicans just suffer from cranial rectal
inversion.
Well,
I think the other thing too is that it's the fact that there's such a, fear of STDs as well. You know, you think about it, there's
and if they believe that they're not going to get STDs by doing it that way,
mm-hmm. they got another thing coming.
Right. Well, I think the risk is higher that way.
I should hope that no matter where you put it, you're putting something over it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep. Right. I found a lot of younger girls that are now saying, well, I'm a virgin, so I'm inserting it somewhere where I'm not losing my virginity.
So they're either giving oral sex or anal.
Or anal.
And thinking that, in some ways, it's a peace of mind.
Yeah.
Well, that's where the original term Greek sex comes from, is that it was a way for men to have sex with women and not break the hymen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that, because in the ancient times it was very important to be able to prove the virginity, that you would break the hymen on the marital bed and the bloodied mm-hmm. bed sheets would be given to the bride's father. So that if the groom comes back and says, she was a slut, she was a whore, she did all this, said, nope, she was a virgin when you married her, here's the proof. And so that's
how lovely
it came from, was not from homosexuality, but guys getting the rocks off with girls, but preserving their vaginal virginity and not breaking the hymen.
All right.
Well, yeah. The
more proof that the ancients had a much different perspective on sexuality right. in general, regardless of who you're doing it
that
with.
Article goes on but to say that many women actually enjoy it, and that's where I'm thinking that it's because the fear of pregnancy has been erased that they might be enjoying it.
I think it's just a new level of sensation, exploring
you think?
Yourself right. in a different yeah. physical activity.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, and with men, we've got a prostate that when you have anal sex, it gets massaged and
right. That, I'm familiar. Go ahead.
That that's the wonderful part about it.
Right.
But women don't have prostates, so I'm trying to figure out why
we do have one. It's just in a different position in our body. It's in a certain spot inside of the vagina.
And they actually say they can the G spot.
Yeah,
I guess they can. Mm-hmm. Simulate that, and a lot of girls that I've talked to.
Oh, through anal sex?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I know exactly where that is.
Boy, that's a long penis.
Well, yeah.
Now, here.
Just because, you don't have the same plumbing up front as in back,
yeah,
doesn't mean that you still don't have nerve endings that can be sent to,
That's what that's what confuses so many straight men because they think that because they like their rectums played with because it feels so good that they must be gay. And it's, no, you just like backdoor action.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of straight guys that have their wives straddle them with a strap on.
And there's so many guys that go without because they're too ashamed to ask their wives or girlfriends to do this.
And there's some women who are totally opposed to the idea of anal sex at all. They prefer vaginal insertion.
That's me.
Because that's where it's supposed to go, yeah. Well, but seriously, a lot of women...
There you go, all boring Robin.
Well, I don't know, it just doesn't feel as good as the vagina.
Okay, so you've done it.
Yeah. Oh, for the record, just get into our intimate lives.
Yes.
Me and Robin have had me doing her a couple of times in our 2 or 3 year relationship. It only happened after engaged in yuppie foreplay.
Are you trying to tell me that you and Robin have had anal sex?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like they have no, you know, what so-called yuppie foreplay. You know, 2 hours of begging and pleading.
Is that what it took to get her to?
Right.
To
let,
yeah.
I thought it was fine.
And she has done it to me
okay.
with a strap-on. So.
Okay.
Now I like doing that. That's kind of fun sometimes.
And, and old bottom boy over here probably loved
right.
it, right?
May your relationship never get to hallway sex.
Oh,
yeah.
And don't forget Kim, our ex-roommate.
Right.
Who's Kim?
Also known as Brian.
Firewolf.
Right.
He's the cute little blonde-headed guy that I used to bring up here about a year or so ago.
Oh. And what about him?
He loves me to get him with strap-on.
Oh.
I'll say, you know.
Well, aren't you just the big butch mistress?
Yeah. Well, I let him do me because I like his penis. It's curved a certain way, so it always hits G-spot.
I have to do other things. Now, as a bisexual male.
I don't know what you're showing me there.
Her tag that says butch.
Oh, okay. It's like something going behind me here. I was like, what's going on here?
Melanie, don't worry. There's nothing of that going on here.
Okay.
Now.
Well, if there is, kind of watch.
Saying I'm a chub.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
Now, as a bisexual male, you know, I can go either way and usually do.
Okay.
If I'm with it, I do find myself, you know, aroused by the idea of doing it anally with a woman. Why? It's, I can't really point at any specific reasons. Other than maybe what I mentioned earlier is because there is part of me, I have a attraction of being done.
Mm-hmm.
By being the bottom when being with a man.
Okay.
So it's probably the feeling of then you know what it takes or what it feels like.
Right.
So you would like to cause that pleasure for someone else.
Could be. I have had the experience of being the top for another man, but I have to be just, basically I have to be in the right mood to do it. Otherwise it's... You know,
not going to happen.
Right.
I find it hard for me to be a top for a guy, too. I have to be in a certain mood.
Evidently not. You've been talking about it a lot here.
Well, like I said, the strap-on thing, it makes it easier. But, you know, like...
Especially since you don't have a penis.
Yeah, mine is too small. But, I mean, having a guy basically get on top of me,
mm-hmm.
and, like...
Oh, that kind of...
And they kind of, the heavy and all that stuff, that's a real big turn on.
Oh.
Yeah. This is domineering, kind of like a dominant type feeling, you know.
Okay,
you can dominate it.
Can we hear something from Butch over there?
Yeah, let's get to
come on, Butch.
Yeah, what's up, Butch?
I don't know.
One part of Mel Squared.
I experimented with a guy, and the only thing I could say is he really needed a shoehorn.
Oh. Well, and a lot of the straight guys that I've talked to say that's why they prefer anal sex with women, is because of the tightness and...
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, for young guys,
you do something over time, it does kind of wear out, you know?
Well, yeah, it's a muscle, so it's going to relax.
And yeah.
Well, you can exercise those muscles like Gigi.
Oh, I know.
Like Gigi used to say how he would teach us how to exercise our muscles, like the vagina muscles.
I didn't
muscles.
Know Gigi's name was going to come up in this time.
No, it's like expecting it to rain in Houston.
Yes.
I don't know. As much as Gigi has probably exercised his muscle, he could probably snap a 2x4.
He does it every day. He said he does it every time he washes his dishes. Yes, he exercises his muscle.
Wow.
I'm doing it now.
That must be.
Well, it's just that they Kegel exercises for women, right?
2 weeks ago, we had a marvelous call from a man named Christopher.
Oh, okay. Christian. Thank you.
Christian. Oh, God.
Only the fifth time. Well, if I keep exercising, you can call me whatever you want.
Yes. And he's here tonight.
I'm not opposed to martyrdom, but anyhow.
I'm sorry, Christian.
Talk about throwing the Christians to the lions.
Well, I am a Leo.
Anyhow, you were saying.
Oh, God.
Yes? You were saying about our guest? Chris, will you take over,
now
please?
Now I understand why I get stuck on the board all the time and you're out back sucking fags.
Yes.
Well, on that note,
there you go. Well, I think we can just see a large, you know, I don't want to say commercialism, but like a peak in interest in anal sex, regardless of whether it's male, female. You know, I was watching an episode of Weeds from season 2, and one of the guys actually had a woman who said that he didn't possess the sexual qualities that she did in a man because she looked for, butch, strong, but that he did possess what she looked for in a woman. And in the episode, she ends up putting up a strap on and bending him over, and that's how it went over to commercial break. So I just, that was interesting that article was in details.
Yeah, it's
backdoor boyfriend.
But has it really, has the interest increased, or are people just talking about it more? Because I think
Lawrence v. Texas decision, which overturned the sodomy laws, I think it kind of, no pun intended, it kind of opened the doors.
Sodomy laws didn't stop people from asking me, especially when I was in school.
But I'm saying it's more, there's no threat of persecution over,
it became a topic of discussion.
Yeah.
All of a sudden people were talking about anal sex in the news, just like, how many years ago when Clinton was in office, everyone was talking about blowjobs. Because you're talking about it, it was mainstream news, it was blowjob, blowjob, blowjob. And so when it started coming out that, hey, anal sex is now open, and that's when something comes to the forefront, it's discussed, and it gets the light shined on it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, next thing you know, they're talking about
so
fisting.
Ouch.
Which is something I will never do.
I always check for bony hairs at that point.
It has always been the case that the minute somebody makes something either a controversy or one person puts something out there to discuss and it becomes newsworthy. It's like any time any of the Christian groups have ever, the conservative groups, the Christian groups, the whatever.
The so-called,
have put anything out there that says, we have to boycott this, or we have to, all people of art shouldn't go see this movie or read this book or whatever. It becomes something that everybody is suddenly talking about. I mean, I think on some level it's the same thing here.
It's a law of attraction.
People are starting to talk about those things, which 10 years ago, 20 years ago, nobody would dare come within 10 feet of and expect to stay on the air as a talk show host or
that's
whatever.
That's like a law of attraction. Anything that you attract to, it could be something negative. If you're going to boast on something negative, it's going to be more of it. If you boast on something positive, it's going to be more of that. It's just law of attraction again.
Hmm? I wonder if anybody's consulted Tinky Winky on this view.
I don't think Tinky Winky has the proper equipment for doing a pegging. It's more like La-La has the straight-up antenna.
I was going to say, how is it that Tinky Winky got to be accused of being the gay one when La-La's the one with the dildo on top?
With the tree chin?
Well, that's... I think what we'll do is we'll do a little transition song, and then we'll go into some topics here. I found some stuff here we can discuss here. For some strange reason, this song came to me because of the topic we were discussing, and Jimmy didn't know what song I would put on.
I think I have an idea, but
I'm thinking probably the same thing.
Rum Shaker?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Well, that's great, but you ought to try something new. Cause you got a spot in a place that's hot and it likes to be tickled too. I got a wad to drop on your loading dock. Deliveries and the
somebody until I hear you squeal. If it hurts at first, that'll pass, and then you'll see how good it feels. When the talking style, so get on your paws and turn around and kneel. Yeah, pop you in the pooper, buddy, let's see how good that feels. Get ready now, I'm gonna start to plow and fertilize your field. Oh, your farm is rich, take it all, you bitch. We're gonna see what crops it yields. For a guy who's straight, man, your butt feels great. Don't worry, I'll never tell. When we meet next time, maybe you'll try mine. But for now, let's hear you yell. Ow! And then pop you in the pooper, buddy, until I hear you squeal. If it hurts at first, that'll pass, and then you'll see it's no big deal. Doggy style, so get on your paws and turn around and kneel. Yeah, pop you in the pooper, buddy, don't you see how good that feels? Until I hear you squeal. If it hurts at first, that'll pass, and then you'll see it's no big deal. Let's do it doggy style, so get on your paws and turn around and kneel. Yeah, I'll pop you in the pooper, buddy, don't you see how good that feels? I'll pop you in the pooper, baby, now you know how great that feels.
We had to play Jeff Stryker for that.
I would love to see the music video for that.
You know, okay, here's the twisted thing with the article that Jimmy just wrote. There's a graphic on here that features a person with a train tunnel in the ass. And on the other side of the page is a train.
Right. Oh, oh wow.
And wow, that's really loose.
And appropriately,
Goatsy.
This is the same magazine that has the half-naked pictures of Daniel Radcliffe in it.
Mm. Are they showing us Harry Potter?
His 11-inch wand.
No, just his chest. It's the article that VH1 says makes him look like a straight Elijah Wood.
Oh. It's the same one where he's wearing a leather vest showing off his chest hair.
Yeah. Makes us all sing happy trails.
All right, let's see. Coming from Tell the Road.com. Coming soon, a movie that we had talked about before is becoming a TV series, Sordid Lives. Hmm. You may remember. And most of the movie cast is coming to play in the series. So Olivia Newton-John is coming to television. Leslie Jordan, Delta Burke.
Be afraid, be very afraid.
Beth Grant, Ann Walker. No, really. For those of you who don't remember, Sordid Lives is a little kind of trailer park white trash drama about a man who... No, about a woman who dies tripping over her... the neighbor's artificial leg while they're having after having a sexual rendezvous, and everyone comes to the funeral, including the gay actor son, and her son, who is believe he's Tammy Wynette. And in a mental hospital.
Tammy, why not?
That sounds like a really long, drawn-out episode of Cops.
Almost, yeah. It's like Designing Women meets Cops. Especially with Delta Burke being in it.
Yeah, right.
So that's coming to Logo.
I think she can stay off the meth this time.
Poor Delta.
A gay kiss outside of the Colosseum in Rome. Formed a kiss-in. Two gay men who kissed one another in front of the Rome's Colosseum on Sunday were held by police for 40 minutes and then released. The police say they were not just kissing, a claim disputed by the couple, who have been charged with committing a lewd act in public, a charge that carries a maximum two-year sentence. Gay activist groups in Rome immediately responded to the arrest. They hired the couple a lawyer and planned a kiss-in demonstration on Thursday. On there.
I see, you want to fly out to Rome now.
No.
Like they haven't been doing that in Rome for how many thousands of years?
Well, yeah.
I don't know. It must have.
Back before that guy Jesus Christ showed up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he never got to Rome.
Some people claiming to represent him showed up.
Hypocrisy in action. A Baptist minister from Bristol, Virginia, was arrested in Tennessee and charged with driving under the influence and indecent exposure, according to Associated Press.
Oh, my God.
Pastor Tommy Tester. Sounds like a gay weatherman's name. 58, drew attention to himself after relieving himself in front of children at a car wash in Johnson City, Tennessee. The report also accuses Tester of offering police officers oral sex and says an open bottle of vodka and empty oxycodone prescription bottle was found in his car.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, yeah. He was also wearing a skirt at the time of his address. So, once again, a Baptist minister wearing a dress hiked it up, took a leak it outside of a car wash in front of a bunch of kids with an open bottle of vodka and an empty bottle of oxycodone. Authorities identify Tester as the minister of the Gospel Baptist Church in Bristol and an employee of a Christian radio station. The radio station has asking for prayers and says he's been suspended during an investigation. Note on here, when those Baptist ministers go, they really go.
I don't think even Jesus would help him right now. I'd be like, you know what? I don't know you.
Oh,
you so, going to hell, boy.
Where? Let's see. They got to have a story about the...
He would forgive him. Poor guy.
There was a Republican... I think he's a Florida... remember the Florida legislature who has gotten busted for accepting or offering a police officer $20 for oral sex in a bathroom in a park, and he's claiming that he felt intimidated because the police officer was a large black man, as he was just going along because he was scared on that. Oh, come on. Oh, I got something on it. Oh, no, it's a video of Anderson Cooper. Barack Obama gets the gay bishop endorsement. Village People Cop says YMCA is about straight fun and not gay cruising.
Yeah, right.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Oh, you
should
see this
what
is he going to go Christian and become part of the TBN network?
No, but I remember them on the Muppet Show doing In the Navy with the pigs and the Viking ship.
Okay.
Doing it with sailors.
Hey, some of the greatest songs of the 70s were done by people on the Muppet Show.
Exactly.
Victor Willis,
what a bunch of pigs.
The cop from the Village People, says the lyrics in YMCA were not meant to be innuendo about gay cruising, about hanging out with your straight buddies. Straight buddies like Bob Allen and Ted Haggard. Says Willis's publicist, Alice Wolf. Victor Willis wrote about the YMCA and having fun there, but the type of fun he was talking about was straight fun.
Yeah, well, the producer was a big old flaming homo.
Adding Willis has nothing against homosexuality. When he says, hang out with all the boys, he's talking about all the boys, the fellows. But it's one of those ambiguous songs that was taken that way because of the gay association with the Village People. Willis is mounting a comeback with a tell-all book about his frustration with his flamboyant gay bandmates and why they ultimately caused him to leave the group in the early 80s. Now sober... Willis has been in the news most often for drug abuse and arrests. He's mounting a comeback show in Las Vegas. Oh, yeah, that's a great place to talk about homophobia.
Well, he wasn't the Village People. It's possibly could be mounting anything, really.
Yeah, the opening stream of international performances. Yeah, he's going from there to Tijuana. Bob Allen, that was the Florida... There we go. Florida Representative Bob Allen to fight solicitation charges. Florida State Representative Bob Allen said at a news conference that he is not guilty of solicitation charges stemming from an encounter with a male undercover cop in a men's restroom in Titusville, Florida.
Titusville?
Yeah. Titusville, if you want to go that way.
Or Titusville, but anyway.
The political process and the legal process have a different communication styles and requirements. As a person in the political arena, as a representative of the people, I tend to want to talk about each and every detail, to give a response to each and every item, and let it be known the truth will be coming out. But to follow the legal process, I've been put into a legal process. Just give us a blow-by-blow description. I wish this situation to no one or any family. My wife, Beth, and I, and my daughter have grown closer in the last 48 hours. He's filing a not guilty plea. I guess he still is, the co-chair of John McCain's Florida presidential campaign. And here's another part of the big hypocrisy part. He was the author of a failed Florida House bill called the Lewd and Lascivious Behavior Act, which would have tightened the state's prohibition on public sex.
Look for him.
And
anybody remember the last part of Birdcage? The movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yes. Just
making sure.
So, I mean, that's
next one to no one.
Oh, yeah.
Where do they come up with this stuff?
Lance Bass is coming out with another book.
The first
one? I thought he had one before. Mm. He shows off his shiny new book.
Unreal.
Out of Sync, a memoir.
And why is it?
Okay, has anyone watched The Two Corys?
Yes.
No.
I don't have cable.
I've watched it.
I've heard of it.
I refuse to.
Only in passing.
And I don't watch reality shows.
No.
Why?
That is the most scripted reality show I've ever seen in my life.
There's no reality in those reality shows.
And Corey Haim is so irritating. You just want to slap him.
Well, you know, the sad part is, you know, Corey Haim is just trying to work off of Corey Feldman's popularity he has from doing The Surreal Life. You know, when you're riding his coattail. They're at a point right now, I think, you know, it wouldn't take that much money to get them to star in a porno together. One of their movies was pretty damn close. I think we need to take up a collection.
20 bucks right here. Yeah, the only reality show I would watch is Who Wants to Be a Superhero?
Neither one of those two people has had a career since The Lost Boys.
I could be on the superhero show. I'm like super gay already.
The one thing I think is hilarious is, you know, during all the promotion they've been doing for this for that show, you know, they keep getting asked about Lindsay Lohan, because, you know, they're familiar with being, you know, the young star, drugged out, crashing and burning. It's like, great, this is helping giving them a couple of seconds of their fame. But what I'm waiting for is, why isn't anybody interviewing Drew Barrymore? If anybody knows where Lindsay Lohan is and where she's going, Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, at least put a positive spin on it, because she's doing pretty good since she finally...
Well, talk to that kid that used to play on, I think it was a Silver Spoon, not Silver Spoons.
Different Strokes?
Rick Shredder?
The movie Home Alone.
Macaulay Culkin only had one run-in with drugs, and that's because he was found with marijuana while driving through Oklahoma, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Which he should have just been arrested for driving through Oklahoma, period.
There's a shorter pot there, right?
Yeah.
Well, just talk to the people that did different strokes or something like that.
One's dead, and the other two...
Super fag.
The other time they get their pictures taken is when they're in... for their mug shots.
Well, one of them been doing a bunch of commercials. I've been noticing some
Gary Coleman.
The other one, I don't know what happened to him.
I forget the name of the girl, but
Dana Plato.
Yeah, and Todd Bridges. It's like it was interesting. They after the show was over, they were both involved in
some gun violence and things like that. Mm-hmm. So
they both were saying they
heard you were going to bust the old guy as the ringleader, but anyway.
I mean, they kind of... They went from shooting a series to a series of shootings.
Exactly.
I'm waiting for the reality show on Channel 13 where they try and find a replacement for Marvin Zindler.
I think that's supposed to be a superhero, isn't it?
They can always get Dom DeLuise to stand in.
Oh, no.
He's played him before.
Melvin
P. Thorpe.
I'm sorry, I was just looking at the fact that he... You know how the firefighters always come out with those calendars? Uh-huh. Well, supposedly, one of the guys from the New York firefighters also been seen in a Guys Gone Wild video.
Wow.
Did you talk about the one that got caught in a bikini? In a woman's bikini?
What?
Big belly and all?
No.
Oh, no.
Had a wig on and everything.
I'm sorry. I'm going to see plastic penis display. Flogging around. I'm just going to record. That's what Guys Gone Wild is anyway.
Come on.
Oh, goody.
What?
Oh, yeah. Apparently, yeah. One of the firefighters is one of the Guys Gone Wild. You know, it's the version of Girls Gone Wild that... unlike the Girls Gone Wild videos, they don't try and push situational homosexuality on them.
Cody for that.
Crap.
Darn.
Yeah, you gotta rely on Sean Cody.
Yeah.
Shucky darns.
It's like, what's the point?
I think I have this one.
I'm sorry, I'm watching a video. Hello.
Yeah, what they say about the
difference. That's why you're drooling, okay.
I actually can attest to this. A girlfriend of mine coerced me to buy this video at the Virgin Megastore while we were in college for freshman year, and he is on the original Guys Gone Wild, the very, very first tape. So if you happen to have it, it's the guy who's extremely, extremely hung.
That's quite a hose that fireman's got.
Right.
What kind of reel does
he
keep
turn on my fire and not put it out?
All right, we're getting close to the end of the show, so it's time for us to say our goodbyes, and I need to...
If you can't be good at it.
Clear out the memory that
don't put anything in your mouth that isn't wrapped.
Bon Amante, blessed be.
Yeah, but you know, bubblegum, it's difficult to cheat with that wrapper. I got nothing going on here. Misha Schmidt Vote Domination Happy Hour is coming up at the top of here. Let's just push this button. We'll push that button. Little background music as we start to clear out the group. You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Thank you to all of our listeners who called in their pledge of support to After Hours. And we'll be back again next week. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us your mail by snail mail at After Hours Care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006. Or you can send us email at afterhours@kpft.org. We'd love to hear from everyone out there. And once again, we'll be back next week. Coming to the top of the hour, Misha Schmidt. Ville Domination Happy Hour. I always feel like I have to say it with a German accent. I'd click my heels, but you know. That'd be so Dorothy of me. We'll be seeing you next time.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.